Jesus Christ, you people suck.
Wow.
Wolverine on a tangent.
Back in the days when we played video games, it was hardcore for the nerdy and lazy. Now things have changed, and all our video games are also for the casual and lady.
But that's okay, you know the score. We told you a million times before, playing consoles, not just games, is in the past. And every week you listen to the best damn internet radio crew. It's the N4G Podcast. It's the N4G Podcast.
Right, we're back for another week of N4G Radio for the week of August 16th, 2010. And on the show this week, we have the illustrious, the infamous, the great Gambus Khan.
Greetings, programs.
And we got the Wombat, too.
Ha!
Oh, that joke just... Boogeyman has no idea what he started.
Nope.
Oh, crap, I don't have my 8-bit music up, so I'll just play this. It seemed to flow well last week.
Yeah.
I got some Guilty Gear OST playing.
Nice.
So you can headbang. But this week, we have a good show. We have a lot of new games to talk about. And some big announcements this week. I'm sure you saw. But as always, we'll start off with what Gambus Khan has been playing. So,
what have I been playing?
What you been fondling, Biznitch?
Well, first off, I played the demo for Monday Night Combat.
Which I believe Wombat is playing right now.
Indeed.
Yeah. And I must say, I like it. I think it's pretty awesome.
So my question is if it's awesome, why did you only play the demo? Why have you not purchased it yet?
It's called waiting to get paid.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But you bought Madden this week.
Yeah, I did.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, is the next game that I've been playing.
I guess you'll leave Monday Night Combat to me.
Sure.
Since I played tons of it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you want to talk about Madden then? Because you don't play football games, so that should be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, well, I played a couple of games on Madden. I actually did a couple exhibition matches. And I didn't have much time each time I played, so I reduced each quarter down to a minute.
Dude, that's not a game.
That's not a game. It's a space station. No.
Oh my God! Did you really just use that line?
Yes, I did.
That's awesome.
Oh Jesus.
That was pretty awesome.
But it's pretty good. I switched it back from to where you actually see the plays.
Oh, you switched it back to the regular. That surprises me, considering you don't even know what the plays are.
Well, I mean, I can kind of figure out, like, oh, that's an interesting way of, you know, being offensive and stuff like that. So I usually just pick one.
So the mode that was built for you, you're not even using.
I know. Because this is the second Madden that I've played. And, yeah, I should probably start just using the other one. I think one of the problems I have with football games overall, I don't know if the other football games, like the college football, has the same thing, but I wouldn't consider it a problem, but it feels like, I don't know, it feels like I'm not even controlling anything. It feels like my input is irrelevant because it almost feels like everything is automated. In a way.
On offense or defense?
Well, defense, flat out, but offense, about half and half.
Now, what don't you feel like you control? Because when you play Madden, when you, you know, when you hike the ball, obviously you're the quarterback, you're going to pick your receiver, you're going to try to dodge tackles, and when you run, you hand the ball off, and then it's all you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the problem I have with football games, I guess, is a very aesthetic problem of you got all these characters on the screen, but you really only can. I know it's to do with, you know, gameplay, but it's like you only control one character at a time, because it'd be impossible to control multiple characters at a time.
Well, that's why you don't control multiple characters at a time, because as you said, it would be impossible.
Yeah, but it just seems like the control that you do have over a particular character is just for like one like little action. I don't know. I think it's just me.
Well, the big thing with the fact that you don't think, because I'm guessing that your plays don't last very long, but if you're really good, then you can control a lot of actions because you want to dodge the tackles and know which angle to take your play in. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff behind it, and if you want to really see it, then bump up the difficulty in the quarter length.
Yeah. This is literally the third football game I've ever owned, and that's considering that the first football game I ever owned was Super Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah, that one. That's everybody owned that. That or Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah, I never owned the original one. I played it back in the day, but the Super Nintendo version was the one that I actually owned. And then last year's Madden was the first Madden I ever purchased, followed by this year's Madden. And for some reason, last year I made the mistake of purchasing it for my lifestyle, purchasing it for the PS3. I only played a couple games on it and was single player. Whereas with Xbox, Xbox is where most of my friends are.
Well, last year you didn't have an option, did you? Wasn't your Xbox broke last year?
Yeah.
So it's not like you could have really chose. But if you want to play a game sometime, let me know, and I'll get on and I'll play with you, and I'll show you the ropes, man, how to throw down on the sticks.
Wow.
Throw down on the sticks, huh?
Did you just make fun of my comment?
Yes.
Don't do that.
No.
Thing is, man, I know almost very little about football.
That's okay. I know too much, so.
I know offense. I know defense. I know touchdowns, and goalies, and that's about it.
Goalies? That's soccer, dude. And hockey.
Maybe not goalies, but goals.
Okay. Well, what are goals?
They're called touchdowns.
Yeah, they're called touchdowns and field goals.
Okay, field goals. Yeah, see, I don't even know that. I mean, come on, man.
Oh, that's great.
And I also know what an interception is. I
bet
that.
You do.
Yeah.
Bet you throw a lot of those.
It happens.
See, that's where the strategy comes in. You got to know when your receiver's open.
Yeah, it is pretty fast-paced. I like it, though. I like it. I really want to get into it. That's why I purchased it, because I want to get in touch with my...
Your man side?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm already, like, for, like, most of my entire life, I've always been in touch with my geek side.
I thought you were going to say your woman side. I was going to be like, oh.
You make me feel.
Oh, yeah.
Touch me.
No.
Well.
Alright,
yeah.
So what else is going on?
Dragon Quest IX.
Still?
Forever.
You ain't beat that yet?
No.
How you play that?
How you gonna roll like that?
And I've come to a conclusion.
What's that?
Dragon Quest IX is my favorite DS game of all time.
Oh, bold statement from Gambus Khan once again. Controversy is upon us.
He likes some bold statements.
He does. He likes to cause controversy, but nobody ever calls him on it.
You know why?
It's because he's Gambus motherfucking Khan.
Yes.
The last game that I played, I played a very, very little bit of StarCraft II, played another multiplayer game, got decimated. It was fun, though, yeah.
It's always fun to get decimated, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Alright, so what's going on in the future, then?
The future, I'm actually planning on picking up Ease 7 for the PSP.
Which I was right, by the way, last week. It is the 17th. You thought it was last week.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, haha, I'm right.
I've decided that I'm going to pick up the Collector's Edition.
Really?
Yeah, it includes the soundtrack, which the Ease series is known for great music, so I couldn't pass the soundtrack up. And I also can't pass up cloth maps. For some reason...
Oh, Jesus.
Cloth maps just... Whenever they give out a freebie that actually involves anything that's made out of cloth, whether it's like a character or something, cloth map, man, I kind of gotta have it.
You know that you're gonna have to put all those in a storage box when you get married, right?
Yes,
because you can't put those on the dinner table.
Yep. Yeah. Along with my galleon hand puppet.
Hello?
What the hell is a galleon hand puppet? What's up?
A galleon.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Alright.
Yeah, for some reason, I heard a weird voice.
You guys just cut out like a cell phone signal for some reason.
I'm going through a tunnel.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Did you hear Campus talking about putting his galleon hand puppet on the kitchen table?
I didn't say nothing about a kitchen table.
Well, I said you can't put your cloth maps on the kitchen table, and you said along with my galleon hand puppet.
I don't even know what a galleon hand puppet
is. I don't either, but it sounds really dirty.
Galleon is the main villain from Lunar Silver Star Story. And
you got one of those Zero?
I think it's in storage somewhere. That's what happens when you get married. It all goes in storage.
Yeah, mine will end up in storage somewhere, too.
Because you can't put it on the nightstand next to you, because, doing the deed with that staring at you, that might be a little uncomfortable.
The deed, huh?
Wow, okay. I could just come out and say it. Would that make you stop giggling like a 13-year-old?
Yes.
Okay. Alright, so, Ease, anything else?
Well... More of what I've been playing, I'd like to get more into Madden, play multiplayer.
Bring it. Who's your team? Yeah.
The Bengals.
Really? Wasn't it the Jets last year?
Yeah, it was the Jets, and then I custom made a character named Flash Gordon from the movie and the sci-fi serial.
Oh, I love Serial.
Oh.
Serial's so good.
Yeah, I wish that you could do custom soundtrack, because I was going to make all the music from the Flash Gordon movie.
You can do that in ESPN 2K5. Yes, I'm still holding on to that.
Wow.
You could do that on what?
ESPN NFL 2K5, the $20
Sweet.
Football game that came out.
For the Xbox,
Xbox, like, forever ago. Hey, there's still people updating the rosters. Go figure that out.
Hey, man. More power to them.
Rock on. All right, so we'll move on to the Wombat, then.
Hi.
Hi.
So this week, I haven't really played much of anything, to be honest. I did play the trial for Monday Night Combat, only the single player. And I mean, it's all right. The single player is all right. I mean, I know it's not really what it's made for, but it's kind of a mix between an action shooter and a tower defense game, as Zero mentioned. I mean, it's kind of fun. It's not. It didn't really take over my senses. I don't know how to put it. It didn't really blow me away.
It didn't make you moist.
No, it wasn't bad. I'll let Zero talk about it more in depth since he played a lot more of it. But I mean, I thought it was okay. It's not one that I would buy probably. I'll tell you what though. I think it's a heck of a lot better than the demo for Mafia 2.
Oh,
which I found to be terrible.
Wow.
I think it looks terrible. To me, visually, it reminds me of Two Worlds, as much as I'll probably get hated on for that. But the screen tearing is awful. The outdoors environments look too busy, which almost hurts my eyes. It's literally the same problem I have with Two Worlds visual style. And I'm sure I'll get strung up for that. But I just, the animations aren't very good. I was just playing the demo and my guy went to take out his gun and both his arms bent backwards. Which was really creepy looking.
Did you play this on 360 or PS3?
360.
Okay.
I'm playing it as we speak.
Oh, okay.
And it's just terrible.
Wow, I didn't have that many problems with it.
I don't like it at all. I think when the people get shot, they look terrible. And I mean, this is just from the demo, but this demo has convinced me not to play the full game.
Holy crap!
Yeah, it's stuttering like crazy. Like I said, the screen tearing is pretty bad. I mean, the controls are all right, I guess. I don't know. I mean, maybe if I invest a little bit more time into the demo, even though you've only got, what?
9 minutes.
10 minutes or something like that to play it.
Yeah.
In 10 minutes, it's convinced me not to buy the game. So if that was their goal, they've succeeded.
You were only the second person who said that they didn't like it.
Really? I've had like 3 or 4 people tell me they didn't think it was good.
I think
I was holding out hope because I actually liked the first one.
Huh. I played the demo and I liked it. I mean, I don't think it's, you know, going to change anything. I think it's just Mafia 2.
Right.
But I didn't have all those visual problems that you're having. That's so weird.
Yeah, literally, it's like as I'm spinning the camera, it's like it reminds me of Darksiders, the screen tearing. As I'm turning and normally I'm not a guy that's sensitive to screen tearing, but as I'm turning the camera, it's tearing all over the place. Yeah. And I've had at least 3 instances where the frame rate sort of chugged. I don't know. Maybe it's just my download, but it's not impressing me so far.
Now, I heard a lot of people complaining about the PS3 version looking like ass by comparison, which I didn't play, so I can't say yes or no, but I didn't have that many problems with the 360 version. I don't know, maybe I just got lucky.
Yeah, I will say that the sky looks good. but I just, as for the game overall, I'm just not that impressed. And I just had another instance just now, as we were talking, where literally the game paused and then started going again.
That is so weird.
I mean, who knows? Maybe if I go back and play it again and focus on some missions and see what that kind of stuff is like, who knows? Maybe I'll enjoy it. But I just shot a woman in the head who was sitting at a table. And she bounced straight up in the air, basically, and fell out of the chair.
Okay, that makes me want to play it, though. that doesn't help in dogging it.
So, I just stole this car. Yeah. Just not my thing, I guess. And I'm surprised, Zero, by the way, that you that you could play this as much as you didn't like the way the cars controlled in Grand Theft Auto 4, because they're worse in this.
Oh, I didn't drive any cars.
Oh, that's why.
I did the missions.
You'll hate it as soon as you start driving a car.
Oh, wonderful.
It's like driving on ice the whole time.
Great. No, I actually did the missions, which is maybe why I didn't have any problem with the game. I didn't do any free roam.
Gotcha. I'm just kind of running around the old city here, and yeah, the cars are even looser than they were in Grand Theft Auto, which I know that you didn't like the way they controlled in Grand Theft Auto. So.
Yeah, shit, I guess I'll be running everywhere.
And you can turn, there's a speed limiter, apparently, that you can turn on and off in the cars. And it limits your speed to where the cars will be easier to control, maybe. That's what it appears. But, it sure doesn't make it any more fun. I just turned the speed limiter off, and now I'm kind of cruising around like everything's ice.
Nice.
So, yeah, not impressed with Mafia 2.
Wonderful.
Right. So there's my blow-by-blow as I'm playing it review of the demo of Mafia 2. Other than that, I didn't really honestly play anything this week. I played a little bit more Civilization Revolution on the iPhone. That pretty much was it. And a little bit more MLB The Show 2010, which I enjoy.
Da Show.
And that pretty much wraps it up.
Awesome. What's going on this week?
Probably more of the same. It'll probably just be Red Dead Redemption when I get a chance, and maybe some more MLB The Show.
Now, if I tell you,
I live a very, very boring video game life right now, to be honest.
Well, that's what happens when you have newborns.
Yeah.
I have to fight just to get time to play this crap. So.
Right.
But amazingly, what if I told you that Halo Reach comes out in 30 days?
I know. I'm so excited for Reach.
I mean, does that even seem like realistic?
No, it doesn't. I'm very, very excited for Reach.
I just thought about that. I'm like, holy shit.
I am, and I'll probably always will be, barring some horrible, horrible travesty, big Halo fan, so.
Yeah.
And actually, I really like the single player. I know that's almost blasphemous, but.
It's fun.
I really, really like the single player to the Halo games, and this one especially looks like it's going to be fantastic.
I like the single player on Halo as well. I like campaign.
Yeah, I think it's very, very solid. So I'm really, really excited for, especially for the flying space missions.
Nice. Yeah. Hey, who's going to be picking up the gigantic statue edition?
Not me.
I pre-ordered it. I think that figure's awesome.
See, I'm actually thinking about, as much as it kind of kills me inside, I'm thinking about just going straight up for the game.
Well, it's entirely up to you.
And this is coming from a guy who.
Unless, do they have a metal? Do they have a? Are they having a metal case edition of it?
Yeah, there's a 10. There's a 3 versions.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe I'll get the metal case because I've got the metal case for the other 3.
Well, I guess the big thing is I guess there's DLC in the big edition. If that's in the smaller edition, I may get that and skip the figure. As cool as the figure is.
I think the 10 case comes with a new armor for the elites, but the one with the statue comes with DLC for the armor for the elites and extra Spartan armor.
That's not really sell-me DLC.
Yeah, that's not the kind of DLC that convinced me to buy that package.
No, but that figure is badass. I really want it.
I will say it is cool, but, I mean, there's no, like, as we were discussing, there's nowhere I would put it. So.
Yeah, there's not really anywhere. I guess I could put it on my computer desk, which is already covered with DC figures from all the movies and my figure from Assassin's Creed 2.
Right.
So. And my Dante's Inferno figure that EA sent me.
You know, to be all honest, the only like must have item from Halo Reach, besides the game itself, is the soundtrack. And the soundtrack is going to be sold separately.
Well, of course. Hello.
So yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'll probably end up just buying the bare bones game, and then buying the soundtrack.
Well, there you go.
Well, yeah.
Or just buy the bare bones game from now, and then in 2 years, when the super legendary hyper giant figure edition is $50.
There you go.
Yeah.
Buy it then.
You can buy your cat helmet.
Yeah, you can buy your cat helmet.
All right. Well, I guess that moves on. See, this is the kind of fondling we need every week. We're only at 25 minutes.
I know.
I did play quite a bit this week, considering that I didn't have any time. So I don't know how I did this. I started up what I tweeted about the other day, where I said I was actually going to go through my backlog and finish my games.
Right.
I threw in, yes, I have no shame, 50 Cent Blood on the Sand, because I'm doing my backlog in alphabetical order. I'm doing it in alphabetical order. For anybody who didn't play that game, it's fun. It's like a mix of The Club meets Gears of War. I mean, you just have to skip the cutscenes. Like, seriously, and turn the music off. I mean, unless you're a fan, which I am totally not. But it's a good game. It's fun, especially with the co-op. But I did finish that. And then the next game up on my list is a really excellent game that a lot of people passed on, which was Brothers in Arms Hell's Highway, which I'm still playing, which is freaking ridiculously long, and it's just excellent. I think you would really enjoy it, Gambus. It's very emotional.
Really?
Very, very good game, though.
I remember kind of being on the bandwagon for that game long before it came out.
And you never played it.
And then I never played it because everybody was like, it's okay.
I think it's really, really good, especially that you can get it really cheap now.
Sweet.
So that's my current backlog game. But that's all I did backlog. I did play some more Madden. Obviously, I'm more than halfway through my season. Really, really still enjoying it. Love that game. We'll probably sink another 50, 60 hours into that game before next year, which, you know, doesn't sound like much to those guys who sink 50, 60 hours in it already, but, you know, I have other things to do. What else did I play this week? I played a lot of Monday Night Combat. They sent us some codes to get online. I know Scorched Angel reviewed it, Jeff Borsick. It got a good review, but it's definitely an online game. If you're not going to play online, don't buy this game. I think the biggest comparison that I made was if you took Smash TV and you made it a Team Fortress game and you added tower defense, that's what Monday Night Combat is. And it is very, very fun, especially when you learn the different... Which I wish more people online would play support, because I could really use a heal when I'm playing, and I suck at support, so I wish we would have more support, but it's mostly tanks, gunners, you know, and then you get the occasional assassin, people who like to sneak around and get one-hit kills, which, just a word of advice, don't try to one-hit kill a tank, because it doesn't work. All you do is piss him, because I had that happen to me like 10 times last night when we were playing. An assassin would come up and attack me, and then I would just get back up and just like kill them in one hit. You don't do that. If you want to one-hit kill somebody, go after an assault or a support. Don't go after a tank. But once you learn, I love the upgrading before each mission, kind of like the Counter-Strike and Team Fortress kind of thing. The more you play, the more money you earn, the more turrets you can build, the more bots you can bring. It's just really addictive online. I did play, I got to give shouts to, I played with Frustrated Fury and Corey Grimes from the Evolved Gaming Podcast, as well as one of our listeners, Fixer. We had a four-man team going on last night and was just ripping through. I think we won probably 3 out of the 5 games we played, so it was a lot of fun.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. We had a great time. What's the other game I played? Oh, if I got my list here. On the PS3, I played... They finally put up a demo for that game, Death Track Resurrection or whatever, the arcade game, which I was really kind of interested in, but I wanted to download the demo and play it first, and thank God I didn't waste my money. That game is just awful. Like, it reminds me of those old PS1 games when they figured out you could use full motion video or not full motion video, but like high res pictures as the backgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
Back when they thought that looked really good. It looks like that, and it's like a racing game where you shoot people, but the frame rate is so bad and the control is so awful that you just can't possibly have fun with that game. It is awful. So thank God I waited on a demo, because that game is just poop. The other game I played on PSN this week is one I'm surprised GambusCon did not play, which is the Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Oh, really?
Which is a straight-up River City Ransom in high definition. So, imagine that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how is it? Is it awesome?
It's very good. The one thing that I noticed when I started playing this, I love the way it looks. I love the fact that it's all pixelated in high definition. It's very colorful. I love the upgrade system. Like, the more you upgrade your character, the more moves you get. I mean, I love that. The one thing that I've noticed that will drive me insane is that this game's levels are way too effing long. Because these are the kind of games you want to sit down and you want to play, and you want to blast through a level in like 10 minutes, because, you know, that's the good pick-up-and-play kind of arcade game. But these levels seem to go on for like 30 or 40 minutes. And by the end of the level, you're just kind of like, oh, okay, I'm tired of running through the snow, you know. I mean, it's good. Don't get me wrong. I just, by the end of the first level, and that's all I played was the first level. By the end of the first level, I was done. I'm like, okay, I don't want to play anymore. And I think that's really sad, because the game is excellent. I really love the game. But I think in the first level, it gives you a tally of how many people you beat in the level, and I just remember the number just being ridiculous. Because you just fight the same guys over and over and over and over and over again. And every now and then you'll get a new enemy type that pops in. But it's just...
So it kind of makes me think that they got the basic formula right, but they didn't get the actual pacing right at all.
Well, it feels also like it has, and this is probably the case, because I'm sure it's... I love what I played of it, don't get me wrong. I definitely recommend it. But I think the game is built so that you play through it multiple times, and if you level up your character, you can just breeze through these levels.
Oh, okay, so it's kind of a grinding fest then.
Yeah, like the more you play, like you can select from four different characters. I believe it's four. And obviously every level is based with a boss fight at the end where you fight one of her exes. I mean, if you're familiar with the graphic novel. So you fight one of her exes at the end of every level. And, like, it's a crazy boss battle. Like, the first one was actually pretty tough until I figured out, just like you can in all old-school 2D beat-em-ups, you find a place to put them and then they can't hit you and you just kind of wail away on them. I mean, that's still there. I mean, it's a very, very good game, especially if you love old school. I definitely recommend it. It is coming to, I guess, PC and Xbox, like in a week or two, I think. So if you don't have a PS3, you'll still be able to play it. But if you have a PS3, it's only $10, so it's definitely a steal.
Sweet.
I mean, it's an awesome $10 game. I definitely recommend it. Even if you're not a fan of Scott Pilgrim, which I'm not, I don't know shit about it. So it's not like the license drew me in. It was the fact that it was a 2D pixelated side-scrolling beat-em-up that kind of drew me in, which I think it's excellent.
Thing is, I've been rereading the first couple volumes of Scott Pilgrim. I actually I looked at my sales receipt because I was using it as a bookmark, and I actually owned the first novel for about a year and a half. So it's not like I was jumping on the bandwagon because of the movie. It was because I heard that it was a good book on a YouTube channel.
Oh, so you're trying to defend your honor?
Yes.
Scott Pilgrim, we talked about Mafia 2. I don't have as many problems as Wombat did with the demo, and I think that's probably because I didn't free roam. Because I was on the conference call with the developer of... Mafia 2 this week, and he was talking about how the game wasn't designed to be free roam, and in fact after you beat the game you can't even go back and free roam the city because it's built more as...
That's lame to me. Why make a sandbox game that's not built to free roam?
But he said this wasn't really a sandbox game. They built it more as a linear story game.
Well, then, if they built it as a linear story game, they should cut down on the sandbox to make the performance better. Like, don't give people a sandbox and then tell them... That's like giving a five-year-old kid a sandbox but saying, hey, you can only play in this corner. The rest of it, off limits. And by the way, the sand's going to look like crap. That's dumb.
It's the Wombat's Mafia 2 hate session. Which just shows you that we don't wear money hats, because if you stick around after the podcast, if you want to listen to...
Mafia 2 developer call.
If you want to listen to the developer of Mafia 2 talk about the game, you can. Just stick around after.
Well, they'll be much more positive than I am.
Yeah, because we were muted. We weren't allowed to ask questions out loud. You know? It's a controlled call. But now, if you want to listen to what he talked about within the game, which, and I agree, some of it seemed kind of, like, crappy. Like, you know, they asked a question, like, well, can I go around and do this after the game's over? It's like, no. Whatever. Okay, well,
why would
you want
to keep playing?
Yeah, why would you want to keep playing this? It's over, you dumbass. Yeah, if you want to hear that's on. We tacked that onto the end of the show, so you can listen to that, because I'm not on there because I was muted.
It would have been funnier if he just said, trust me, by the time you get to the end, you won't want to play anymore.
So there you go. The last game that I played, I can't say enough good things about, is Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light.
Ooh.
They sent us review codes for that on Friday, and I'm actually not reviewing it, which is amazing that I actually ended up with a code outside of that. The game is freaking incredible. I absolutely love it. It has the Diablo perspective, but it retains the Tomb Raider puzzles. So you have these like really cool puzzles that you can do within the game, but it is very combat heavy, and it uses the traditional top-down combat where you aim the analog stick in the direction and then you fire it with the right trigger kind of control. The game is built for co-op, which, as we all know, unfortunately, you cannot play online co-op at the launch of this one. It's going to be another month, probably. Which sucks, because you can tell how much, like, the levels were built for co-op. Like, there's certain areas where they just kind of made it possible for you to get through in single player. I did play some local co-op. My wife helped me get the achievements that are co-op only, and we dug around with the co-op on that, and it definitely feels like that's going to be a lot of fun when they implement the online co-op so that you can play. The game is coming to PC and PSN, I believe, in a couple weeks. But anybody who owns an Xbox 360, when this game comes out on Wednesday, you should definitely buy it. I know a lot of people say that Shadow Complex kind of set the bar for $15 downloadable games. I mean, this game is right up there with it. That's how good it is.
Wow.
So I'm loving it. I think I'm like 3 hours into it, and I'm just barely over halfway through it. So it's not a short game. I love how each level is contained in its own thing, and there's like a ton of shit to collect for people who love to go back and collect stuff. And each level will score you based on your time, how much stuff you picked up. If you kill the enemies fast enough, you get like this bonus time where it like doubles the score. So it turns into an arcade game mixed with an adventure game, mixed with a puzzle game. I mean, it's just really well polished. I did run into a few glitches. I actually glitched the game at one point where you couldn't progress. But that was my fault. I decided to go back the way I came. And I closed the door that couldn't be opened from the other side. So I had to restart the level. And I wasn't pissed, if it tells you anything about the game. I wasn't pissed at the level I had to restart, because it was so much fun. And the second time I went through, I could get more points and move through it faster, and I actually knew where everything was. So it reminds me of one of those games that you can go back and play multiple times, and it's still fun. So I definitely, if you have any interest in, you know, adventure games, puzzle games, top-down games, or Tomb Raider in general, I highly recommend playing this when it comes out on Wednesday. It is an incredible game. So
excellent.
That's two Summer of Arcade games, and I have to say they ended Summer of Arcade on a perfect note. They couldn't have picked a better game to end it on. That's definitely the best game of the entire collection, by far. Monday Night Combat is an excellent multiplayer game. I recommend both of them. They're both great games, but only Monday Night Combat if you intend on playing online, obviously. Because if you don't, then there's not really a whole lot of point to it. So, there you go. As far as this week, I'm pumped because my Kane and Lynch is showing up as we listen to the show. Kane and Lynch 2 Dog Days, I will be playing that. I'm actually excited to play that. I'm one of the few people that was
my... I was about to say, you're probably one of three people in the world who can say that you're excited that your Kane and Lynch 2 is showing up this week.
Hey, you know, anybody who played the first one and played it online and played that Fragile Alliance mode are definitely excited to play it this week. And if you played the demo, you're probably excited to play it this week, too, because the demo was really good.
I played the demo, and I'm not excited to play it this week.
Whatever. Whatever.
Today's just my day to be the hater.
Apparently, you're just negative Nancy this week.
Yeah.
Good Nancy. Lord. It's like, I don't want to play Kane and Lynch.
You know what I think it is, honestly? And this probably isn't the right way to go about it, but I think now that I have less time to play games... I tend to be more selective.
I can see that.
And so, a game either has to really be in my wheelhouse, so even if it's not well made, it has to be the kind of game that I really like, or it has to be really, really well made, for me to really want to sink a lot of time into it. Because I just don't have time to play games that I think are meh anymore.
See, Gambus, that's what you have to look forward to in the future.
Yeah. I'll only play games that get a 9 or above.
I think when Gambus gets married and has babies, I think we should just turn this into the Angry Old Bastards podcast. Where we just hate on everything. I think that would be fun.
That'd be awesome.
I'm playing that Kane and Lynch this week. I'm also going to finish up Tomb Raider. I love it. I may play some more tonight or tomorrow. Kane and Lynch tomorrow. Hopefully some more StarCraft, probably some more Madden. But I think that's it for this week. I don't think there's anything big. We're getting the calm before the storm right now. Because once September hits, it's on like Donkey Kong.
Indeed.
I mean, it's nasty in September.
You know what's just right around the corner before the month even ends?
Dead Rising? Is that in August or is that September?
I'm not totally for sure. A game that not too many people are talking about, but I'm ecstatic about.
What's that?
Metroid Other M.
Oh, yeah. That's August 31st. That's kind of pushing it.
Yeah.
Just to give you an idea, September, you're looking at PlayStation Move is launching, which is pretty big. NHL hits, Ruse apparently hits in September. Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man, obviously all of the Move games. Tom Clancy Hawk's 2 hits in September.
I still haven't beat the first one.
Yeah, no, I haven't either, but it was good. So
yeah, I still own it.
Obviously, a little game called Halo Reach comes out in September. Aragorn's Quest, that hits in September. Batman the Brave and the Bold hits in September, which if you haven't seen that, you should go look at that game.
It looks good.
It looks freaking incredible.
Yeah, it does.
We talked about Move hitting in September.
That's only on the Wii, right? Brave and the Bold?
The Wii and the DS.
It'll be exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Battleground Chess. Okay. Dead Rising 2. Hits in September.
Sweet.
FIFA, the new FIFA, hits in September. Front Mission Evolved hits in September. Guitar Hero, The Warriors of Rock, drops in September. Oh, good, Greg Hastings Paintball 2 drops in September.
Well, it's going to be called Something Something's Paintball 2 since Activision stole his identity.
Yeah, whatever. Quantum Theory hits in September. Plants vs. Zombies for Xbox Live Arcade for those who haven't played it. So there you go. And Final Fantasy 14 for the PC drops in September.
Wow.
And the official strategy guide for Two Worlds 2 comes out in September.
Hello?
Yes? Can I help you?
Hello?
Can I help you? Alright. Well, you can definitely tell that we had to take a break there when the Skype cut out because the music has stopped, but let me start it back up. There we go. So, yeah, that's going to sound weird.
That's alright. Most people don't listen that close anyway.
Yeah. Music's quiet, so... Alright,
Gotta love Skype.
Yeah, you said that at the end when it got cut off. But I cut that off, so that's okay.
But I cut that off, so it's okay.
Yeah, I cut you off.
Yeah.
News, here we go. There's a new Marvel costume pack coming to Little Big Planet on August 17th. It will have Magneto, Storm, Hulk, the Green Goblin, and the Punisher.
Sweet!
That's pretty cool.
The Punisher and Magneto Sackboy sounds awesome.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
They'll be available for $5.99 for the pack or $1.99 each.
Oh.
So, there you go. The Fable novel, Fable the Balverine Order, which is due out on October 5th, will come with a download code for a Fable 3 weapon.
Interesting,
yeah.
That's a good idea.
Advanced Jedi Knight classes have been revealed for the Old Republic, including a dual lightsaber-wielding badass.
Nice.
So that you can live out your dream.
Of being a dual knight lightsaber-wielding badass.
Exactly. All right. QuakeCon is going on right now, as we all know, or it was on this weekend. They had the ultimate Quake pack that you could buy, which is just, oh my god, 27 games for $69.99.
Really?
Yeah. The sale actually ended today, so you can't go get it. but that thing
27
was,
games for $16.99.
That thing was a monster. It had like Fallout 3, Doom 3, Quake 2, Quake 3, Hexen, Hexic, Spear of Destiny. I mean, the thing was just monster.
Jeez.
It said it was a $290 value for $70.
I remember playing Hexen.
Yeah.
Hexen and Heretic.
Yeah. Good games.
None of which are Hexic.
Huh?
The puzzle game.
Oh.
Hexic HD.
HD. A move-compatible Dance Dance Revolution has been announced for the PS3.
Sweet.
So, last time I checked, you dance with your feet.
Yeah.
So, do you, like, strap these onto your toes or something?
It's an all-Vogue Dance Dance Revolution game.
Sweet. Yeah.
Stalker 2.
Gotta make jazz hands a lot.
There you go. So it's kind of like that dance game for the Kinect, right?
Yeah.
Stalker 2 has been announced, and it will utilize new multi-platform technology. So maybe it'll come to the other systems. I don't know.
Hopefully, because I've always heard that the Stalker games were phenomenal.
Well, I guess we'll find out if they come to the consoles. We have a release date for Rage. Do you want to start your countdown clock?
Sure.
It looks phenomenal. You have 1 year and 1 month left to wait. It's due out September 13th, 2011.
Excellent.
So.
September when?
September 13th.
Gotcha.
Another game pushed to 2011, Crysis 2, March 22nd, 2011. Another game pushed to 2011. We're used to this by now. Test Drive Unlimited 2 pushed to 2011. The developer for Sonic Color says it's intended for children, so get over it. Also targeted to children is the new Tony Hawk game, Tony Hawk Shred. So again, get over it. There you go. There'll be a demo for Hawks 2 this week.
So you can check it out.
Real-Time Worlds has laid off a bunch of people after the disappointing sales of APB. That's what you get for creating an MMO based on gangs.
Yeah.
Seriously. You should have made Crackdown 2.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no kidding, man. It's like, I'm not going to go into it.
An analyst is predicting that Kinect will sell 4 million units in 2010.
Wow.
Which, you know what? I don't disagree with that.
I don't either.
So, I think it's going to sell a lot better than we all want it to. So, there you go. Tropico 4 has been announced for PC and maybe consoles.
Tropico?
Do you ever play Tropico?
Actually, I haven't.
I haven't either, but I heard it was not very good on console.
Hmm.
I heard Tropico 3 did not translate well to the console, but I only heard that
seemed
one
to
person,
like it.
So. Gotcha.
I don't know. It's not my kind of game. I got tired of those economy simulations ages ago.
Yeah.
Apparently, id has no plans to release third-party licensing for their id Tech 5 engine. It's being kept exclusive for in-house titles.
Interesting.
So, the NPDs were this week. By Jesus, redesign your console and you sell millions.
Yes.
That thing
indeed
killed. It beat everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
The number one hardware device.
Yeah, it beat the Wii and the DS. That's all you need to know, other than the fact that the PS3 almost sold as many as the Wii, which means one thing. Almost everybody's got a Wii now.
Yeah, it's reaching its saturation point.
Yeah, which the PS3 sold really well, so it went up and the Wii went down. So anytime you hear that the Wii went down, that's usually a problem.
Yeah.
Generally speaking.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. But as far as software sales go, it was typical. College football was number one on both consoles. Let me see if I can actually see the software was the crap this month, which sucks. College football was the number one at 368,000, which isn't... I mean, okay, just to give you an example of how crappy the software sales, number 9 and 10 were Mario Brothers Wii and Modern Warfare 2. Games that are like a year and a half old.
Yeah, but did you see how much your game sold?
Crackdown?
No. StarCraft.
Oh, yeah. StarCraft sold like 740.
700 and some thousand.
Yeah. So, but we all knew that was going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's like releasing a new Halo. You know it's going to sell like a fuck ton.
Right.
So, uh-huh. Right.
Except you had to wait 12 years. For
yeah, first. We got to wait 12 years. Yeah, just like Diablo when it comes out. Yeah,
yeah.
Another studio absorbed by Bethesda, Arkane Studios, known for or little known for Arx Fatalis and Dark Messiah of Might and Magic.
Yikes!
So, why did you buy them? That's my question.
Yeah.
Apparently,
are you really that impressed with Arx Vitalis?
Yeah, really. That game was fucking awful.
I heard it was really good on the PC. But
yeah,
on
the PC.
Xbox,
yeah.
Awful.
Xbox version, just crap. John Carmack was showing off Rage running on the iPhone at QuakeCon. 60 frames a second. Anybody who's ever dogged that man just needs to be slapped. Because
yeah,
he is just a freaking genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, Ruse will not be using the Ubisoft DRM that everybody hates. It will instead be using Steamworks. Big announcement this week. BioShock Infinite was officially announced. You're laughing. Is this more hate?
No, I'm laughing because, I'm sorry, this is not at all game-related, but my cat has managed to lodge itself in a baby wipes box and is... He's having a severe difficulty trying to escape it.
I'm sure Ken Levine appreciates your boxed cat story during his announcement of BioShock Infinite.
And now she is biting the tape on the box. Cat, that's not going to help. Let me go rescue my cat. Hold on a second.
Okay. Well, Gambus, while he's rescuing his cat, did you watch the trailer for BioShock Infinite?
No, I have not. What'd the trailer show?
It's basically a utopian city again, but this time it's in the sky. Instead of underwater.
Sorry, got me sold.
I think it looks phenomenal. If you watch the trailer, it's awesome because it starts off and it's like underwater and you see like this like thing, and then you realize that it's actually a camera panning out from a fish tank, and then the guy falls out the window and you just see this city floating in the sky, and it looks incredible.
Right. Cat safely rescued.
There you go.
Back to BioShock and Infinite, which
yes.
looks phenomenal.
See, there you go. See, you saw the trailer then.
I did see the trailer, I cannot wait. It
that
looks fantastic.
That looks... I can't believe there was so much hate.
I know. It looks to me like the and now the cat is trying to climb through the handle hole on the baby wipes box. So... basically, her entire front half is in the wipes box, and her back half is stuck out.
Nice.
Cat. And now she's just got her front paw stuck in it, reaching in there, trying to grab something out of the baby wipes box, even though there's nothing in there.
Nice.
You are nuts. Anyways, BioShock Infinite. It looks to me like the... like kind of the way they should have gone for a sequel. Now, granted, I own BioShock 2, and I've never played it, but I was always kind of skeptical about how they would go about a sequel to BioShock, so I like the fact that this one seems almost like a, kind of like what System Shock was to BioShock, where it's like a, the same kind of game in a different setting.
Yeah. I just wonder why they stuck with I guess the marketing kept the BioShock name.
Right.
Because BioShock just reminds me of underwater.
Right.
So maybe they should have called
Which,
it.
And I love at the beginning of the trailer how they tease that it's going to be underwater.
Oh, yeah. That was the best part. Like, you even see the Big Daddy in there.
Right.
Which was hilarious.
Yeah, that's great.
So I'm pumped. I don't care what anybody says. Whatever.
I agree.
It looks awesome.
You know what's funny is I don't understand why anybody is complaining. What has Irrational ever done to not make you excited? Like... I don't understand. People are like, oh, I don't know. I think it looks like it's going to be crap. What have they ever done that has turned out to be not great? I mean, I just don't understand why you would go into it with the expectation that it's going to be terrible when their track record pretty much universally shows otherwise.
Yeah, I don't know. People just love to hate.
It's like, I don't know. It's some people just they clamor for originality, and they're always talking about how, well, you know, I just don't want another same old BioShock sequel, and then they come out with this one and they're like, looks like crap, doesn't look enough like the first one.
That's because people are stupid. Lovers gonna love, haters gonna hate.
Haters gonna hate. That's the truth. Haters gonna drink a big old glass of Haterade.
Damn it, Haterade. here you go, Gambus. Nights in the Nightmare PSP port is got a release date. It will be out in October.
Thing is, I'm sure it'll be really nice looking, but part of the Nights in the Nightmare gameplay was most of it was like stylus control.
Yeah, but it'll still work.
You think so?
No, I don't know. I don't really care.
That game was tough, man.
Yeah,
that
I know.
Game
I
was
played it.
Really, freaking convoluted.
Yeah, it was. It was overly convoluted.
So I can't even imagine how they'll even be able to pull it off on PSP.
Speaking of ridiculous, the Call of Duty Black Ops Prestige Edition was announced this week. It comes with a radio-controlled car with a camera on it.
Yeah.
Really?
Which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, but you know you want to play with it.
No, I don't.
I do. I want to drive it into, like, some place and, like, look for stuff. Although I'm not buying that. The video and the audio works up from 200 feet away. So, Gambus, you can drive it around the mall and get upskirt shots.
Hey, man. Nope.
Yeah, that's you don't have to defend. You don't have to defend it now. You said she doesn't listen to the show, so it's okay. Or does she now?
Dun 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 dun.
He's not gonna tell.
I don't know.
He's not gonna tell.
What are we doing here? The ESRB has revealed some of the tracks for Dance Central, the Kinect Harmonix dance boogie game.
Boogie, yogi, yogi.
There's some good stuff on here, if you like to dance.
I like to dance.
It's got Rump Shaker.
We know you do.
By Rex and Effect.
Rex and Effects is an effect and I'm a wrecker.
And Snoop Dogg's Drop It Like It's Hot and Remove Your Underwear.
Drop It Like It's Hot. Drop It Like It's Hot.
And Remove Your Underwear.
And also Remove Your Underwear.
Yeah.
While you're at it.
while you're dropping, just to suggest.
While you're dropping, remove your underwear, otherwise you'll get a stain. Apparently Google has invested some money in iPhone developer NG Moco, which we've done a lot of reviews for their games. So apparently Google's trying to steal them. According to lead producer Yashio Sakamoto, he says Metroid Other M was designed as an NES game with the latest technology.
I'm glad to hear that.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Apparently, there is no evidence that 3D gaming will damage your eyesight.
But it'll give you a headache.
Well, yeah. Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock is actually debuting 11 brand new bands that have never been in, in a Guitar Hero game, including Neil Young, Queensryche, and Tesla.
Queensryche, awesome.
There you go. There are rumors floating around that a PlayStation phone may be on its way. It's supposed to be kind of like an Android with PSP controls.
Cool. It'll probably be like the, the PSP Go? But with phone.
Yeah, with a phone. Of course, there were rumors there was going to be a phone on the PSP ages ago, and it's never happened.
It's probably going to be more like the N-Gage, let's be honest.
Let's be honest that the N-Gage was terrible.
Yeah, they're coming out with a PSP phone because the PSP has sold so well.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the... speaking of the PSP and NPD numbers, less than 100K this month.
Yeah.
Less than 100K, which is terrible. That's less than the PS2 sold, probably.
Yeah, that's a struggle.
It's time to call it quits.
We'll never know because the NPD doesn't track PlayStation 2 anymore, but...
No, but they should really just stop. They should just stop. It's not doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's... It's just not. I don't know what. I mean, I don't even know how to tell them to correct the. I know everything.
I know.
It just sounded. It just caught me as very arrogant all of a sudden that I would say I don't even know how they can fix the problem. But I don't. I have no idea how they can fix the problem.
Well, that's what kills me is freaking that thing. How many great games do you remember on the PSP this year? One.
Yeah. One.
One. And how many are coming?
Games.
How many are coming?
And how many great games have been on the DS this year?
Like 100.
Right.
Well, how many are coming to the PSP this fall? One.
Thing is, the PSP is the system pretty much aimed at people like me nowadays.
Well, what does that even mean?
That means people that are into role-playing games and... quirky Japanese titles. The PSP's pretty much aimed at that type of audience right now.
I think that audience is all still on the DS.
They toggle.
When's the last time you played your PSP?
When I got Persona.
Which was?
About a month ago.
Before that?
Metal Gear Peace Walker.
Hmm. Not a lot of playing going on there, huh?
No, but neither was the DS this year, for at least for me, but now it's like super high gear because of Dragon Quest. And quite honestly, another reason why I play my DS more is because I can actually fit it in my pocket. So...
Well, I can tell you that if the PSP isn't dead now, it's buried when the 3DS comes out.
Yeah.
Which is why, in all honesty, the move to a PSP phone isn't all that bad of an idea. Just because it puts them in a different market, honestly.
Yeah, kind of like the iPhone
is. Than the direct handheld market.
Yep.
So as long as its games can beat out the iPhone and it's got a good cell signal, they at least can be competitive. Whereas right now against the DS, they're not even putting up a fight. So it'll at least move them out of the strictly handheld gaming market and into sort of the multimedia handheld device market, which is pretty competitive, but Sony has an upper hand in terms of gaming over just about every other phone maker, so.
Yep. Alright, Deadly Premonition is coming to PAL territories this fall, so you guys can finally check out this quirky, weird game.
I still want to check it out myself.
It's only $20. I don't know how anybody's not checked it out that wanted to check it out.
Yeah, I came close to buying it several times, but then some dude would be like, "Oh man, that game sucks."
Well, that just shows you submit to peer pressure.
I do, man.
Tell him to shut up.
Yeah.
Tell him I play what I want.
I do what I want, bitch.
Yeah, I'll take charge.
Apparently, the U.S. MMORPG market is slowing as the Asian models expand. So, there you go.
Sweet.
The Fable 3 sales goal has been set to $5 million.
Million.
I'm sorry, 5 million copies. So, Peter Molyneux thinks it's going to sell 5 million copies.
I'm really interested in Fable 3.
I was done being interested when they... never mind.
I enjoyed the first two games.
I got bored of the second.
I was very disappointed in the first game at the time, but I still enjoyed it.
Well, at least he's just making goals for his sales now, not goals for the game actually being good.
Snap. They were good games.
I'm not saying they weren't, but he shouldn't hype them up.
They weren't everything that he promised, but they were good games.
Yeah, well, that's a sign he should shut up. GoldenEye 007 Classic Edition includes a gold pro controller that's been redesigned, apparently. Which, I don't know, it looks the same to me. Eh, whatever.
I wonder if it's similar to the redesigned controller that came with Monster Hunter.
I think it looks like that, yeah. But it's gold. Which is just ugly.
It is ugly.
It's just ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole multi, like, bright-colored controllers thing kind of went out with the 64.
Did you not have multicolored controllers?
On the 64?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did. That's why I said that was the last system that the multicolored controller really played well on. Yeah, I had some cool ones. I had, like, the ice purple one that was clear. I ended up eventually with one that, the DK one, that looked like bananas.
Yeah. I remember they had, like, the... You could buy N64s in flavors. They had, like, charcoal and purple and watermelon.
Yeah.
And,
that's awesome.
Yeah, except I wasn't hungry.
Hey, did you guys ever create your own custom-colored controllers?
No.
No? Like, by painting them?
No, well, you take, like... Because the N64, you know, they had the all the different colored controllers. What you could do is... You could unscrew one controller and actually swipe like a piece of like either the top or bottom plastic piece and exchange it between the two different color controllers, and then you could have two multi-color controllers. I remember doing that because I remember they had an article in Nintendo Power about how to do it, and I just thought, you know, I'm bored out of my mind, I might as well, so I created a couple multicolored controllers.
I'm surprised that Nintendo Power actually had an article like that.
Yeah, that seems anti-warranty.
Considering it would, void your warranty, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Okay, it might have been another magazine.
Okay, but don't lie to me.
it, Okay, I don't know which magazine it was, but it was in a magazine.
Penthouse.
Maybe.
Maybe.
According to an analyst.
Maybe.
According to an
Dear
analyst.
Penthouse, I never thought this would happen to me.
I mixed my controllers.
But I mixed my controllers up.
That's against everything nature tells you. According to an analyst.
So wrong, but it felt so right.
It did. According to an analyst, Blockbuster Video is on the verge of bankruptcy. Like, anybody didn't know this.
Yeah, anybody who's been to a Blockbuster recently could have told you that.
I mean, seriously, yeah. With Netflix.
Pay me $10 million a year and I'll be your analyst.
Yeah.
I'll just walk into a Blockbuster.
With Netflix, like. Man, screw that. It's done.
Yeah.
Put a fork in it.
Apparently, Valve has filed for a trademark for Defense of the Ancients, which is apparently a very popular game.
Mm-hmm. It was built off Warcraft 3, I believe.
The rumor we reported on last week about the new Borderlands DLC was confirmed. It's called the Claptrap Revolution, which once again sounds like an STD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which the picture is awesome, the Viva la Revolution, with Claptrap to, like, dressed like Fidel Castro, with
nice.
A beard and a cigar. That's just
that would
awesome.
Be awesome if they made an actual full-blown poster that you could buy.
You'd buy it, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And then you'd never get to hang it up.
Pretty much.
Probably. Yeah.
Volition is working on a new action RPG franchise, which I thought they were working on Saints Row 3 and Red Faction Armageddon. What else can these guys do?
And I'm pretty sure that I just heard new news about Saints Row 3 and how it was going to be even bigger and sillier than the last one.
Yeah, and they're doing, they did a charity auction for a voice in the game, which I guess the guy from Cheap Ass Gamer actually won.
Nice. Oh.
So his voice is going to be in the game. So there you go.
I would love to have my voice in a game.
I think you could probably just get in a game. I think you could just email somebody and be like, hey, I want to be in a game. I want you to be an NPC in Fable 3 that when you walk up to, he goes, the thing is... That would be awesome.
Greetings, program.
Greetings, programs. Microsoft confirms that Kinect cannot read sign language. Which, no shit. How do you play Kinect if you're blind anyway?
Sign language is for the deaf, Zero. They wouldn't be able to see it if they were blind.
You shut up.
Holy cow.
I messed up. Apparently I'm just stupid. I don't have a sign language. Okay.
That's hilarious.
It doesn't read Braille either, so suck it.
That's hilarious. I'm sure that joke won't get made over and over and over again.
Hey, sometimes I try too hard.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. I'm blind.
See, I'm perfectly capable of making fun of myself when I screw up. So, anyway. A rumor floating around that Duke Nukem Forever is back in development at Gearbox. The same guys that made Borderlands and the game we talked about earlier, Brothers in Arms.
Yep.
So, there you go.
They should call it Duke Nukem Infinite.
Oh, Jesus. Disney... What?
Make it an MMO.
Oh, God. I just hope that game eventually comes out so I can play it, because I love Duke Nukem. Disney Interactive records a major revenue increase thanks to Toy Story 3, which was excellent, and Split Second, which was pretty good. So, apparently Plants vs. Zombies is adding Steam achievements, and it's dropping the Michael Jackson zombie. What else do we got going on? The Wii has reached a threshold of 30 million consoles. That's how many it's sold in the U.S.
That's pretty good.
It's actually reached it within 45 months, which is over a year faster than the next best-selling console, which was the PlayStation 2.
not too shabby, if I say so myself.
Shit. That's ridiculous. The Force Unleashed 2 has been canceled for the PSP. I wonder why. Maybe because it's...
Yeah. It might sell about 24 copies.
That's being generous.
Yeah.
The video game industry has apparently contributed $5 billion to the U.S. economy.
$5 billion.
Apparently, yes. EA had an Iraq war game in development, but was canceled.
What? Yeah, I heard that. Actually, you know what's funny is my non-game-playing father is who told me about that because he saw it on the news. And there was apparently you played as both sides.
Isn't that Medal of Honor? Don't you play as Al Qaeda versus the U.S.?
That's a possibility. I don't know. Maybe that... he had mentioned that he heard that EA had a game coming out that a war game about Iraq that was canceled.
I wonder if the news story got it mixed up because
maybe.
I know in Medal of Honor you play as the I don't know if it's Al Qaeda, but I know it's like one of those terrorist groups versus the U.S. or something like that. And a lot of people are like, "Oh, you shouldn't want to play as them." Which, if you can imagine the talk that goes on in Halo, imagine the talk that's going to go on in that game.
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, I might just turn my headset off.
Yeah.
Fallout New Vegas has announced its voice cast, which is huge. Ron Perlman is going to be in there as the narrator. Matthew Perry is in it. Wayne Newton. Danny Trejo. Zachary Levi from Chuck.
Really?
Felicia Day. So.
Wow.
That's a lot of people in there. Chris Christopherson, Michael Dorn. So, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Apparently, Metal Gear Solid Rising won't have very many returning characters. Final Fantasy 13 has had many difficulties, according to Nomura. Which is just another excuse for a delay.
You mean 14?
Indeed.
Oh,
no,
I thought you said 13.
Versus 13.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah,
I don't even keep track of it anymore. Spiky-haired next version.
Oh, the thing is about Squaresoft...
They suck?
No. It's that... Here's the thing. They've had these games in development forever. I mean, we've heard about Versus 13 about as long back as 13 was announced.
Okay, then why aren't they any good when they come out?
13 was decent. It wasn't the Final Fantasy that we were all waiting for, but it's good. It's good. It's its own thing. It's good. The problem with Square that is something that was kind of out of their control is that they started developing these games that are really, really, really high budget value games, right? They started developing these games before the drop in the economy. So now they pretty much shoehorned themselves in a situation where it'll probably take twice as long of development time than what was initially thought out, and it's something kind of out of their control because that's what Square specializes in is hybrid production value role playing game type games, and it's just unfortunate that the economy went to crap and now they're stuck in years and years and years and years of development time to make a game that might be good.
See, high budget RPGs, we should reference The Last Remnant.
Yeah. That's actually a really good one to
to point out.
Yeah, that came out and it sucked. It was SquareSoft.
It wasn't developed by Square.
Yeah, well, I'm so sick of their excuses. I could probably, if I wanted to, go find a game that's been in development for 4 or 5 years that came out that was actually good, and stop making excuses as to why your games aren't out. If your company can't afford it, don't start it, bitches.
I think that's the reason why they've done the Dragon Quest IX for DS and the future Dragon Quest X for the Wii, is because they don't want to be shoehorned into another super expensive project for, you know, the PS3 and 360, just, you know, to take long development time. And it seems like the Japanese economy is also facing quite the crisis over the past few years. The anime market has been deteriorating like nobody's business.
Well, maybe if they stop making tentacle porn. Oh, wait, maybe if they started making more. I'm sorry, that was the wrong joke.
Yeah, maybe you're on to something, Zero. Maybe they need to start making more of that.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, enough of my hatred for Squaresoft. The new Batman Arkham City details have been leaked online from the newest issue of Game Informer, which, you know, if anybody connected to any part of Game Informer listens to this show, I'm pissed off. I still don't have my Dragon Age issue, and I paid my fucking money.
Oh.
Yeah, I still don't have my Batman issue. I did my Dragon Age issue.
Shit, I don't have my Dragon Age issue, and the fucking Batman issue is already out.
I got my Dragon Age issue about 2.5 weeks after it came out to retail.
Yeah, well, I still don't have it. So
that
you.
Sucks.
It pisses me off. It's the only magazine I actually pay for, and I don't even get it. And if I don't get the Batman issue, I'm going to punch people in the face.
Yeah.
So, but apparently the sequel will follow Two-Face's attempt to assassinate Catwoman. So there's at least three villains confirmed for the sequel. Because we already know the Joker's in it. So I'm not going to go through the whole report of the game, because you can read the report and just know that that is an awesome game. UFC Undisputed 2010 underperforms and THQ reports a loss, which I had a Twitter fight about this the other day. Somebody said that if THQ would stop releasing shitty games, and I'm like, really?
What? Yeah. Released some great games.
Darksiders and freaking
Undisputed was great.
Metro 2033. I mean, these aren't shitty games. These are good games that just don't sell. So, whatever. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, because the people out there that go, only buy a game that gets a 9 or above, yeah, that's because you.
Billy Mitchell apparently has reclaimed the Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr. high scores. You know what? He is like the perfect PR, because everybody hates him.
I'd rather talk about just about anything in the world than Billy Mitchell.
Do you like his hot sauce?
I'd like his shut his face.
You know that
you're famous because you're good at Donkey Kong.
And
you have a mullet.
You have a mullet, and you run a hot sauce company.
No, he got the hot sauce company from being famous for being a douchebag.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. Apparently, the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood Collector's Edition includes a creepy Jack-in-the-Box. And, of course, an art book and all that other shit. Making of DVD. Yeah, seriously? Nobody wants this shit.
A Jack-in-the-Box, huh?
Stop.
You know those things would always freak me out when I was a little kid, man.
Well, you should see the one that comes in this collector's edition. Yeah, that's pretty creepy.
I know what's coming when you're playing the Jack-in-the-Box. You know what's coming, but it's I never, when I was growing up, when I was a little kid, I never was quite prepared for it, man. It always made me jump, man. I guess I'm just a scaredy cat.
Yeah. Got another word for it. Apparently Split Second is finally getting downloadable content in August and September. So there's 4 packs coming. They should probably get on that if they're going to release it in August. August is more than halfway over. apparently there's a rumor of some Ubisoft collections coming, including the Splinter Cell and Prince of Persia trilogies.
Mm.
So, that could be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that's it. We're done with the news.
Hooray.
So, that was a lot of news.
Yeah, that was fun.
All right. I do have to get to one question before I get to the tweets, because the tweets actually called us out last week that we didn't answer this question.
Yeah, indeed.
Which it is the only question in here that we haven't answered, I believe. So it comes from Sam in Seattle. He says, if you could only choose to play one of these games and you'd never get to play the other, which would you choose? The new Mortal Kombat or a new, never going to happen, Killer Instinct? And obviously why. I'm curious what makes Killer Instinct so cool in all of your minds. I've never heard of it outside of this podcast.
What?
First off,
Go play it.
You need to go online and download a shmemulator and download
Killer Instinct
a bomb shmemulation of Killer Instinct. Second, I don't know. This is really a big zero question, because I know how zero is about Mortal Kombat and Killer Instinct. I love them both, but I'm not the same kind of crazy that zero is.
It would be Mortal Kombat easily, and it's simply because Mortal Kombat has, you know, I love Killer Instinct, I do, and I think the only reason we talk about it so much is because we haven't played one in like 10 years,
forever, yeah.
But Mortal Kombat has always had a special place in my heart. It's in my top 3 games ever. So, there would be no fight there. That would be straight Mortal Kombat. But if this is going to be this way and you're going to make me never play Killer Instinct, I want Mortal Kombat right now.
Yeah, there you go.
Which I'm surprised we didn't see that in the news. Apparently they confirmed 7 more characters for Mortal Kombat.
Really?
I'll see if I can find it while... if Gambus has any input for that. Mortal Kombat, Killer Instinct...
Well, here's the thing. I'd probably go for Mortal Kombat.
Why?
Because I'd be afraid that if I pick Killer Instinct, that it won't... That it just won't live
under-deliver.
Up to the hype. Yeah.
I'd have to see what the new Killer Instinct looked like before I made that call.
Yeah.
Because I really, really liked Killer Instinct. But, Killer Instinct, though, I should say, since I already told him to go out and download it, or to look for a shmemulator. I should mention that it does not age well. Killer Instinct has not aged well.
No, it's all about nostalgia.
Right.
Speaking of,
if you play it now and you've never played it before, you probably won't get what the big deal is, to be honest.
I'll put it to you this way. My two favorite characters are Fulgore and Glacier.
Glacius. Shame on you.
Here's your
characters. I found it. Apparently it was in the PlayStation Magazine. Confirmed Mortal Kombat 9 characters. Cyrax, Kano, Sonya, Jax, Smoke, Katana, and Liu Kang. So,
sweet.
And there will be a playable demo for the public at PAX. I hate everyone going to PAX right now.
Well, here's the thing about PAX.
I hate you.
It's like 7 times more crowded than E3. And I heard to play any demo, you have to wait in line for like 3 or 4 hours.
I don't care. I would wait in line all day just to play that.
You would use up a whole day to wait to play Mortal Kombat, probably.
You're damn right. And if Ed Boon doesn't stop ignoring me on Twitter, I'm going to stalk him.
Probably shouldn't say that.
I know. I've like tweeted him like 4 or 5 times, and he never says anything to me. I'm your biggest fan.
You just don't rank, I guess, where you thought you ranked.
I don't rank up there. I am not cool enough to have, noob talk to me.
You're also not cool enough to have David Jaffe hate on your C-level website.
No, but he does follow our show, so...
He does.
Recognize that he respects us. Either that or it was an accident click.
It was probably an accidental click.
Probably.
Yeah.
As much as shit as I give David Jaffe, I still love his games when he releases one. And I'm pumped about Twisted Metal.
Don't kiss up just because he follows us on Twitter.
No, whatever. I said I was pumped about Twisted Metal the day it was announced. I still think it's shitty that he lied to me. Anyway.
You act like he's your dad.
No.
You lied to me.
You lied to
you
me,
You said Danny. We was going to go to the theme park and you had to work late.
You said you was going to bring me a McDonald's. Anyway, lastly, for Gambus, did you get to play... You did get to play the 3DS at E3, right? I think I remember you saying you saw Avatar in 3D. How does the quality of 3D compare from the big screen to the tiny handheld? I'm super excited for the 3DS, especially if MGS3 is made reincarnate for the vessel. But I'm having trouble imagining 3D working well on a handheld because I've never seen it done. Thanks, peeps, for the answer. Till next time. Everyone have a great week. Which, that question was asked on July 21st, so there you go.
Well, I mean, you can never really compare a gigantic theater screen to a 2-3 inch screen.
Is that the line you use in bed?
Oh man!
It was going there.
Yeah. You can't compare. I just think that it's the type of 3D that makes it almost appear that you're looking out the window. Like Avatar, when I saw Avatar in 3D, I didn't see things coming out of the screen at me. It just looked like those a high level of depth to the movie itself. And of course, when you're watching on big screen and you're like close to the screen, and it feels, you know, you get the motion, you feel like motion sickness if you get motion sickness. You know, you get a little bit, you know, immersed in the world. And thing is, with 3DS, I will say that granted, it's a completely different experience, but at the same time, it is a step forward. It is a pretty substantial step forward from what we're playing now with the regular DS, in that the screen is larger, the graphics are superior to the DS, and it's got the depth of feel. You, when you're looking at the little screen, it does pretty much appear to be like a window into another world. Granted, a very really small window that you carry around in your pocket, but it does look like you're looking through a miniature window into another world. And I mean, you can't really compare, but. And let's just say it's still worth looking forward to. It's going to be sweet.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Which while you were going on your rant there, I was digging around our website N4G, and apparently a certain rapified journalist has stirred up controversy on the site again. Did you see this?
We were on talking, our site?
Yeah, or on N4G, sorry.
N4G?
Yes, we were just talking about Mortal Kombat. Apparently his headline is, Kratos is appearing in Mortal Kombat Sony exclusive. This will be huge. Which is just another one of his things where he makes a rumor and, you know, gets headlines.
Mm.
So, I just thought that was funny.
Indeed.
So, there you go. Of course, it catches everybody's attention. You know, everybody wants to read that.
Right, right, of course.
And he always puts a question mark at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
So, if Kratos...
Don't start.
If Kratos, theoretically, was going to be in the new Mortal Kombat game, and then, theoretically, Master Chief...
Oh, Jesus, that was in DOA.
Yeah, but... Could you imagine what Master Chief would do?
As a fatality?
Yeah.
Probably sticky, just crush you with his money hat. Anyway, it's time to go to the Twitter line. We need a little theme song for the Twitter line.
Twitter line.
Okay.
How's that?
No, let's not do that. ADZNZ says, hey crew, who's pumped for Smallville Season 10 or DC Universe Online? Peace. I am totally pumped for Smallville.
I am too.
Uh-huh.
You're pumped for Smallville?
No. Didn't he say DC Universe Online in the last part?
Yeah, he said or.
Yeah, that's okay. My or.
Okay.
I'm pumped for DC Universe Online.
I was going to say, I didn't think you really watched good. Smallville.
I don't anymore.
So, okay. No, I'm pumped for... I'm actually pumped for Smallville. DC Universe, I am cautiously optimistic. I don't really know if I want to invest $15 a month on something that I'm not going to play that much. I hate that because it makes you feel like you have to play it to get your money out of it, you know?
Yeah.
So, but if anything ever causes me to pay $15 a month, that will be it. So.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm cautiously optimistic about DC Universe, but I'm absolutely looking forward to Smallville Season 10. That trailer that they showed at Comic-Con,
that made me moist.
Yes.
Just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
D-Hoof says, what must-have games should I have for the PSP and the DS? The PSP is easy. You can count them on one hand. It's like God of War, Metal Gear Solid, Peace Walker.
Or if you're like me, anything that says Atlas on it.
Anything?
Well, pretty much. 90%.
I would actually go back to the launch lineup, which I thought that was what the PSP got me excited for, was Darkstalkers, Twisted Metal. Those were great for me.
If you're into RPGs, I would say anything that says Atlas or Square.
Blaze Blue's really good on it, but if you can buy the console versions, there's no point. So...
it's always nice to have a little fighting game that looks pretty.
Yeah, but just no point. To me, anyway.
Yeah.
DS... I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
New Super Mario Brothers, Mario Kart, freaking... God, there's so much crap on that thing.
Yeah, DS would be a whole episode unto itself.
Yeah, there's a lot. But must-haves, I definitely say New Super Mario Brothers...
Dragon Quest IX,
Mario Kart, the Zelda. I'm trying to think which Zelda is probably the best, and they're all good.
Yeah,
there's a ton of DS games you need to own. The best thing to do is literally go to Game Rankings and do a sort by score. You can usually see the monsters at the top. I mean, you may not always agree with, you know, review scores, but it's hard to deny. DS stuff like Grand Theft Auto is really good on it. Mario and Luigi's Inside Story.
Yeah, yeah.
All the Castlevania games.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
there's like four or five of them now.
Yeah. The Zelda games, Phantom Hourglass, excellent. Spirit Tracks, I've heard, is really good. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. Advance Wars. it could go on forever. DS
yeah.
is awesome. Alright, next up, Front Tours Gamer has to give Gambus Khan a shout-out, because we gave him a shout-out. He even gave the time of when
nice.
Gambus made the shout-out, so there you go.
Sweet. Thank you.
Baseball Fan 15 says, Harvey Birdman versus Phoenix Wright. Harvey Birdman.
Harvey Birdman is awesome.
So I have to go with Harvey, just because he would like say some stupid comment, and it would just confuse Phoenix Wright, and then Phoenix Wright would point at him, and then Harvey would like fall and punch him in the face.
Yeah, Phoenix Wright. He's not as much of a comedian.
No,
he's just kind of down to business. You know, it's kind of like I don't know who would win in a fight, Stone Cold Steve Austin or Jim Carrey, you know.
What? What kind of comparison is that?
It's not, man. That's the point, man. It's,
wow.
You can't really
He's
compare.
Saying there's no comparison.
Yeah, there's no comparison. Just the fact that they have similar careers, their personality, and the world by which their personalities exist in a completely different context.
Okay. D-Hoof is, says, Bioshock Infinite. Can it replicate the same feeling we had when the first one came out? Will it be Bioshock without Big Daddy?
Yes.
I think it's going to be awesome.
Maybe I'm getting my hopes up too much for this game, but I think it looks awesome.
Oh, I think it's going to be incredible. But I think it is going to have a lot of reminiscence of Bioshock. I don't think it can do what the first one did as far as, like,
right.
Oh my god, this is, like, an incredible new game. I think you'll feel like, hey, this is awesome Bioshock in the sky. So, there you go. Yeah.
Which is...
And it looks phenomenal.
Oh god, yeah. I posted sounds three sweet. Screenshots, and they just look great. We got a follow Friday from both D-Hoof and H-Dogger. Key134 says, after watching the trailer, hearing there's no online fees, and finding out there will be zombie maps, I want Call of Duty Black Ops again. And this kind of goes back to my point that you just can't get away from it. You can dog Activision all you want, but they make some pretty fucking kick-ass games. I'm sorry. They have a lot of stuff I'm excited about, and I think Black Ops is going to be incredible. I cannot wait to play the single player. I'm not as much the multiplayer guy. I can't wait to play the single player. I think it's going to be a roller coaster ride of fun.
I'm definitely going to rent it and play the single player for sure.
Yeah, I don't get into the multiplayer as much because I just find that the Call of Duty crowd is a little too extreme for me.
Right.
You know, I don't have the time to dedicate and just be able to jump in and be like, oh, look, I'm having a good time. No. I just jump in and get owned, so it's not as much fun for me. But the single player I really enjoy, so I'm looking forward to playing through it. Baseball fan 15 says, "Oh my god, my childhood dream come to life." Apparently, Deus Ex Warren Spector wants to create a DuckTales game.
Yes, I heard about
that. Wow, seriously.
I mean, like, actually, not just wants to, like, was actively begging to let him make a... Like, his quote was something like, I've begged them to let me make a game with the ducks.
Okay, that's interesting.
Like, he really wants to make a new DuckTales.
Did I just totally miss this news? But D-Hoof says, are you guys excited for the Star Wars Blu-rays?
Oh, yeah, you didn't hear about that?
No, I missed this.
2011.
Aww.
Dude, there's going to be new scenes.
Yeah, deleted scenes. They showed, I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I don't even know if it's up online, but they apparently showed a new scene from Return of the Jedi that's never been seen before.
Oh my god.
As a deleted scene. And this description of it sounded really cool.
Yeah, there's supposed to be a scene where I guess you actually see Luke Skywalker making his new lightsaber.
Right. Apparently, it starts out with Darth Vader in his, like, medical chamber or whatever, like he was in Empire.
Yeah.
And he starts saying, like, Luke, come to me or whatever. And he keeps saying Luke, Luke, Luke over again. And then it shows Luke with, like, a hood over his head, like, almost looking like the Emperor. And it shows him, like, working or whatever with a tool on a lightsaber. And then he picks it up and hits the button and sparks it, and it's the first time should have been the first time you see the green lightsaber.
That's from Shadows of the Empire. He actually built the lightsaber in Shadows. Yeah, I'm a nerd.
Right.
Yeah.
But apparently it was supposed to be in the movie. They originally filmed it to be in Return of the Jedi, but never did.
Son of a bitch, that's how he's going to get me to buy him again. Not that I wasn't anyway, but...
Yeah because... He said basically, I think you guys have had enough behind the scenes making of, but there's going to be a bunch of deleted scenes apparently.
Oh yes, I am so there. I can't wait to see these. Now, is it just the original trilogy first?
Nope, all six.
Oh, is it in a box?
Probably. I imagine. Yes. I don't know that they said.
Oh, it's going to be like $500.
There'll probably be two boxes, one for each trilogy.
Oh my god! Yes, I'm psyched.
Yeah. Awesome.
I can't wait. God, how nerdy are we?
Super nerdy, but that's okay.
Yeah. D-Hoof also says, where did the soundboard go? I haven't heard Arnold recently. So, just for him, it's not working. Damn it, hold on.
Maybe we should explain why we haven't had the soundboard for a while.
Because we haven't been in the same room and nobody can hear it but me.
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to open it up right here.
Just
Stop whining.
There you go.
I couldn't hear it, so.
You can't hear it?
It's just not as fun. That's why we don't do the soundboard, because we're not all in the same room anymore.
Fuck
so.
You, asshole.
I'm using it right now.
Fuck you.
Only Zero can hear it.
Stop whining.
So. Well, it's terrible, because he said what happened to the soundboard. I haven't heard Arnold in a while, and I played Stop Whining. I'm a terrible person.
Bullshit.
Fuck you.
All right, anyway. Oops, pressed the wrong button. Anyway, D-Hoof also says, who do you think would win in a brawl between Bobby Kotick, David Jaffe, and Cliffy B? I feel that would be worth watching. Well, Bobby Kotick would probably just pay somebody to whoop all their asses.
There's a lot of nerve there.
Yeah.
So really what would happen is they would probably slap on each other for a couple time or for a couple seconds, and then everybody would run away.
Well, see, I think David Jaffe and Cliffy B look a little more badass than Bobby K.
Yeah, I
Bobby
just don't
K
know.
Looks just like a bitch. Boy, he does.
That's nice.
Well, have you seen his picture? He looks like a giant douche.
I think he looks more like if you poked him in the stomach, he would go, hoo-hoo.
He looks like the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Kind of.
I hope you live in a somewhat doughy. Fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine!
Anyways, they're never going to fight.
No.
So.
I think I'd have to give it to either Cliffy or David Jaffe. I totally can't pick Bobby K on that one. Sorry. H-Dogger says, watch out for this serial killer in your neck of the woods. And it's a picture of Sniper Kitty. It says, watch out, he's a sneaky one.
The world famous Sniper Kitty.
Yes. That bastard's in my window right now.
Dun, dun, dun.
Eddie Bishop says, hey guys, what's the best concert you've ever been to? I saw John Mayer last night and dude rocked the guitar. It was awesome. That's easy for me. The Foo Fighters playing in Cincinnati, downtown Cincinnati, was probably the greatest show I've ever been to. It was actually recorded for a radio, and they rocked. They actually played with Supergrass, which nobody's probably ever heard of now.
No.
But Dave and company have went on to be very large, which, speaking of Dave Grohl, did you see that he has his own achievement in Rock Band 3?
I did not.
Yes. There is an achievement in Rock Band 3 that says play five songs, beat five songs that Dave Grohl has been in the band. So nice. Apparently there are five different bands in Rock Band 3 that he has been in that band.
Nice. So Foo Fighters, Nirvana.
Oh, he was in, he played for Queens of the Stone Age.
Queens of the Stone Age, that's who the one I was thinking of.
And he also played for
Was he in Eagles of Death Metal?
I don't remember. I know he was in Tenacious D. He played in that.
Right.
He also played... Oh, what's the name of that band? I can't think of the name off the top of my head. Fuck. It's an older band, but he played for them recently.
Mm.
His original band was Scream, which I doubt that's in Rock Band. That's like pre-Nirvana grunge.
That ain't gonna be in Rock Band.
No. No, but I thought it was funny that he has his own achievement.
Yeah, that is funny.
So, you guys, best concert you've ever seen?
Go ahead, Gamish, you can go first.
The best concert I've ever seen was that I've ever been to was the Activision concert at the day before E3.
Just because Eminem was there, right?
Well, it was just the excitement. Because it was like a 2.5 hour concert, and Eminem was there for maybe about the last 35 or so minutes. But it, like the beginning, like the first 45, 50 minutes of it was like just a string of DJs and dance music, and it was really awesome because it had the big screen and all these really cool graphics and stuff going on the big screen, and it was high energy. It was really, really cool. Big, high production value. Lots of like lasers and smoke and strobe lights and then I'll probably say that my follow up concert was when I saw MC Hammer about 20 years ago.
Nice.
You're showing your age.
Yeah. Please, Hammer, don't hurt him.
Did you sing out loud while he was singing? Please, Hammer, don't hurt him.
I was singing, pray,
pray. We got to pray just to make it today. I said, pray.
Yeah, that was classic.
Fuck you.
I haven't really been to too many concerts, honestly. I really never really been a concert guy. I did actually, although what's funny is I did actually see John Mayer in concert way back before he turned into kind of a douchebag.
He wants to direct porno.
Doesn't surprise me. No, I saw him in concert like right after, almost immediately after his first album came out. But the best, easily the best concert I've ever been to. The 70s band The Guess who did American Woman, These Eyes, a whole bunch of pretty famous songs, played at Miami University, one of the branch campuses of Miami University in Middletown, and there were literally five people in the audience other than my family.
Really?
Yeah, which was pretty hilarious. But they put on a good show. But it was literally the four people in my... I was probably 14 at the time. The four people in my family, five other people, and that's it. There was nine of us total in the auditorium for the Guess Who.
Wow.
Wow.
I bet they felt like shit.
Yeah. They put on a good show still, though.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, but that's... I mean, that's it for me. Those are really the only... And I went to this thing. We have this thing in Cincinnati called Jammin' on Main, where they close off streets downtown in Cincinnati, and they have a bunch of different people play. I went to that one year. That was kind of fun.
Hmm. All right, moving on. Next question. Jerkstore 80. I'm sorry. H Dogger says, "Are you Team Edward or Team Jacob?" I'm Team Buffy, the Vampire Slayer. She'll kill them all. No more glittery vamps.
I like his answer.
I. You know what? If my wife didn't read those books, I wouldn't even know what the fuck he was talking about.
Yeah. That's the same situation that I'm in.
So, I don't have a team. I'm team shut the fuck up.
My son's name is Jacob. Not after that, by the way, before anybody asks. So I guess I'm team Jacob.
Yeah. Try to convince everybody that you didn't name your son after a glittery vampire.
Actually, he's a werewolf.
What? Okay, see, you just ruined yourself right there by correcting me.
Hey, dude, I went with the girl, man. I went with the girl.
Don't lie to me. You read the books, didn't you?
No.
Edward.
I did read a little bit of the first book, but...
No, you read the whole thing.
No, I didn't.
Jason puts on sparkles at night. All right.
No, Edward! You live forever!
God, I hope not. Jerkstore81 says, "Does it seem there are an overwhelming amount of AAA titles coming out in 2011, but the remainder of 2010 is slim pickings?"
I don't think there's anything slim pickings about 2010.
You don't think so?
Not at all.
You don't think Halo Reach, Fable 3, Rock Band 3, Star Wars?
No.
Need for Speed?
I don't think you can classify any of those as slim pickings.
No.
So?
Probably Gran Turismo.
Gran Turismo?
I think this month is probably going to be the slowest month of the entire stinking year. And, I mean, we still got freaking Metroid coming out this month.
There you go. Shotcaller says, "What it do, N4G crew? Do you think that the whole United States versus the Russians conflict is overused in games?" You don't have an answer, do you?
No, I don't have an answer. Absolutely not.
I honestly don't think so, because I don't think it's not as big as some of the other conflicts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't play too many games where, I really can't remember last time that I faced down some comrades.
Gambas, you always have the weirdest way of describing something.
Yes, I do.
You can't remember the last time you faced down some comrades.
Yep.
All right.
Some yeah. That's true.
Anyway.
It's because we are too tough for you.
Yes. I must
decided break. To stop fighting us because you understand there is no point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have 600 hair on chest that could pound you straight out. Like you was bear and we were wrestling, I would slam you.
Look, bear's driving car.
On head and die.
All right, moving on. We're getting Got close you. To the end. We're getting close to the end, Vlad. You have to be quiet. Snoop Dibble says, "Blah." Snoop Dizzle, not Dibble. Dibble. It's almost as good as
Rob Dibble.
It's almost as good as your scratching shit last week. Snoop Dizzle says, "Midget zombies. Take that idea and make it into something even more awesome, like a video game or a movie. What would be the plot?"
Wow.
How do you make midget zombies even more awesome?
I don't know how you make midget zombies more awesome. You give them machine midget, guns?
Midget ninjas? against them?
Seriously, if they come out with a movie, midget... midget... midget ninjas versus midget zombies in 3D.
That's gold.
I'm gonna be there.
Absolutely.
Oh my god!
Dude, it's not that funny.
No, it's really not. I'm laughing at the fact that you're laughing that hard.
Oh my god.
D-Hoof says, "I have been tweeting at N4G Podcast, and I don't know that they have been going through. Either way, have a great show."
Interesting.
He also says, "What are your thoughts on the rumor of the PS3 exclusive Kratos in Mortal Kombat?" Did we not just talk about this? I'd love to see his fatalities. Fixer has sent a couple pictures. If I can get him to come up. He says, "Look, monkeys in the next Mortal Kombat."
Hey, I'm going to start a rumor right now.
You're going to start a rumor?
Yeah, about the new Mortal Kombat.
Okay, go ahead. There's your monkeys in Mortal Kombat.
I'll give you a hint toward the rumor. And the hint is, in the new Mortal Kombat game, the 360 version, you'll be able to play as a character who uses a chainsaw gun.
Uses a chainsaw gun?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to start a rumor right now that in the next Mortal Kombat, you're going to be able to play on the 360 version only. You're going to be able to play as Balder from Too Human.
Yeah. Wow, that sounded weird. Fixer sent in the two pictures of Mortal Kombat monkeys and apparently me when I was a child.
Which was really funny.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. And I do, in fact, do have Bubble Bobble, too. You can borrow that.
I have Bubble Bobble as well.
Iceman2885 says, "Anything more frustrating than Madden Heisman level difficulty cheating? That the game doesn't actually get harder, it just cheats more." And that's true. If you play Madden on the like ridiculous difficulty, like you can be winning by 10 points and they'll somehow magically score 14 points in the last minute.
Yep.
So DizLoudBoy916 says, "How about another round of the word game? Round table, one person says a word, and then the next to make a story." Dude, I don't even know if I want to do that.
We may have to do that when we have a little more time sometime.
Yeah, let's do that when we have more time. He also says, "The show has
Let's just go around. Let's go around twice."
Okay, you want to go around twice?
Make a six-word sentence.
A six-word sentence. Okay, Gambus, right. You have to start.
Potatoes.
Taste.
Delicious.
Just.
After.
Shitting.
There you go. Comical inaccurate.
He also says, "The show hasn't had a Metal Gear Tourette's rant in about a while. How about now? And let's make it vulgar." What?
Well. I've got people in the next room. So.
Yeah, come on now. Wait. Come on.
Come on, we got families now.
Listen to Gambus, we got families now. Did you not tell us about the wedding?
Oh, my bad.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cracker.
Potato.
Cracker. Jay Borsig says he challenges me to a game of Madden, and I should bring my A game.
Interesting.
Okay, let's throw down on the sticks.
As if you were going to bring your C game.
No, I was going to bring my F game, just to make you feel better.
So you're going to play as the Raiders then?
Oh, don't start with me. Do not, son. Incredible Stan says, what's up, N4G? Hope I'm not too late. Have a great show, and what did you think of the Bioshock trailer, which we already talked about?
Which was awesome.
Yes, indeed. Tyrant94 says, hey, N4G dudes, thanks to my bud So Doom, I gave Borderlands a third and final try. I take back all the crap I talked about it.
Hey, there you go.
See? It's just like James Bond. 35 no's and a yes means yes. So. D-Hoof says, what two games are you most looking forward to before the year is up?
Halo Reach.
Yes. And Two Worlds 2?
Yes. You laugh.
I know you're not kidding.
Either that or Fallout New Vegas. I am looking forward to it.
I have this day with Halo and probably Force Unleashed 2.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome too.
Gambus?
Halo and Metroid Other M.
All right, and Marcus GV is our last question. He says, which RPGs are you most looking forward to, Fallout New Vegas or Two Worlds 2?
Both, with you, a side of both.
I seriously think you have made that game more popular than it needed to be.
What, Two Worlds?
No other podcast on the internet gets as many questions about Two Worlds as this one.
You know, I think actually that I'd like to think that I'm solely responsible for the fact that Two Worlds is getting a sequel.
I think you might be.
Yeah.
I hope that I can campaign enough that Two Human will get one as well.
I wouldn't count on that one.
No.
No. Even though he said it was like a trilogy, right?
Right, yeah, it was supposed to be a trilogy.
Yeah, whatever.
You know what else is supposed to be a trilogy? Advent Rising.
Don't start.
And you know what else was supposed to be a trilogy?
Shinmue.
Two Human.
What'd
you
say?
Yeah, that's what we were saying.
Two Human.
Yeah, we just talked. Did you fall asleep?
Did you black out?
I thought you was talking about Two Worlds.
No, we're talking about Two Human.
Two Human's gonna have to be a trilogy. It's supposed to be a trilogy.
I must got Two Worlds in my head, man.
You must.
Well, we were talking about Two Worlds for a while.
Yeah.
But then we flipped the switch up and started talking about Two Human instead.
So there you go. So I'm guessing you're gonna pick Two Worlds too.
That's what I said. Both, with a side of both.
Okay, and then Gambus, are you more looking forward to Fallout New Vegas or Two Worlds 2?
Probably a draw.
Okay.
I feel like I would have to beat the original Fallout 3 first before I could appreciate New Vegas, and I have not done that yet, so...
Hope you can find 40 hours. Or 50. Or 60.
Whatever.
70.
I'm going to go with neither.
You know why? Because you're an awful human being.
Because I have taste. That's why.
Yep, bad taste.
No. No. You can't say I have bad taste. Okay, did we not just discuss this? Anyway, that's all the tweets. As always, follow us on the Twitter at N4G Podcast.
The Twitter.
You could follow us individually.
You sound like a 60-year-old man.
You'd like follow us individually.
Are you kids on that Twitter?
At the ZTGD, at the GambusCon, and at the R-Wombode. Oh yeah, you can also find us on, we have a If You Like It Facebook page now.
If you like it?
If you go find it on ZTGD, you can like us. We have 22 likes.
Wow.
Thankfully we can't get dislikes.
Yeah, yet.
Because that would be a lot more.
So basically what you're telling me is that the 7 people that listened to this show each liked us 3 times, and then one of them decided to go for a 4th.
Well, we all liked ourselves, too.
Oh, well, yeah, there's that.
So that helped. So, Gambus, I know you have stuff you want to say.
Shoutouts.
Yeah, that's what they're called.
I will give a shout-out to the Evolve Gaming Podcast. I'll give a shout-out to Front Toward Gamer Podcast. I'll give a shout-out to Red Sun Gamer Podcast. I give a shout-out to Pink and Deadly Podcast. And a shout out to the very funny and comedic serial. Not, it's not serial, but very comedic. The Down for To It X podcast.
Okay. You got anything else?
And a shout out to my girlfriend who bought me StarCraft 2.
Now, here we go with that again. Every week. Every week.
Every week.
Anyway, we're getting out of here. So, Mr. Khan, you can do your thing, and we'll be back next week.
Maybe.
All right.
Not today.
Here it goes. And it goes something like this.
Centuries of tales written just shunned away. And after all, described as our vampire lord, has been forgotten and turned
Okay, everybody, this is Chase from Access Communications, and I want to welcome you all for our Mafia 2 developer conference call. And this is Mafia 2 from 2K Games. And on the line I have Jack Scalise. He's the Director of Creative Production, and he's going to provide a quick overview of the game, and then we're going to jump into the questions that you all submitted. I know there was a lot of redundant questions, so hopefully by the end of this call everything's been addressed in some form. And at the end, we're going to open it up to any other outstanding questions that are left hanging, and hopefully you guys all get what you need. So, Jack, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. So why don't you give a quick overview of the game, and then we'll get to the questions.
All right. Well, the game is called Mafia 2. It's coming out on August 24th of this year for the PS3, 360, and PC. And it tells the story of a young man named Vito Scaletta and his best friend Joe Barbaro, and their rise and fall in the Mafia in the 1940s and 1950s.
All right, cool. So let's start with some development questions. Yeah. Almost 8 years have passed since the original Mafia title was released. Why did it take so long for the sequel to come to fruition?
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys have all seen the way the game looks and the way it runs, how smooth it is. And it was right from the get-go, we said we want to develop it to look like that, to run like that on all three major platforms that could support a game with, you know, graphics and features like this. And the engine to do that, there was nothing out there at the time that did it, so 2K Czech chose to develop their own game engine. And that is neither cheap nor quick to do. And that was what took most of the time for the last 8 years. And, of course, games this big don't come together overnight, so we did need a couple of years to put the rest of the game together after the engine and the dev tools were built.
So what are some of the major improvements the devs have made to Mafia 2 over the first game?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, you see the graphics. You know, Mafia 1 looks great. It looked amazing at the time. It still holds up to this day, which I think is a major achievement. But Mafia 2 has to look better in every way. And it certainly does. One thing we chose to keep from the first game was the big major focus on story and atmosphere. So I really wouldn't call that an improvement, but it's something that I think Mafia 1 did better than any other game of its time, and of all time, actually, and it's something we chose to bring over from the first one.
Okay, here's one of those questions that has a string of possible answers. Obviously, Mafia 2 draws from a romanticized era of Americana that's part and parcel of the American experience. Since the game was designed and created by 2K Czech, were there any challenges in obtaining in-game authenticity of that era, whether it be in the script, the game's visuals, or anything else? If so, how were those overcome?
That stuff was, a lot of it was my job. Obviously, the art is something where we just, you know, the artists flew over to New York, Chicago, San Francisco, took photographs, did a lot of research. So that's something you don't really need to be from the culture to understand. Things, you know, like fashions and advertising and things like that. As far as the dialogue and the characters and things like that go, the original writer, Daniel Vavra, and I, we both worked really hard, worked together to really Americanize or Hollywoodize the script that he had written. And so a lot of that really fell to me.
So what were some of the most challenging obstacles the dev team encountered during development?
The biggest obstacle, as I said earlier, was probably the engine, the game engine, just developing this tech that not only had to work on PC, but had to work on the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360. This game, some people don't know this, but it started out, because it was 2002, it started out being developed for the PS2 and the Xbox and PCs from 2002. And then once the next console generation hit, the game engine had to be, you know, fitted to those consoles. And all the new capabilities that they brought to the table. So no longer were you, you know, confined to certain memory restrictions. Now all of a sudden, you know, we have these game consoles of today, which are, you know, technically and technologically light years ahead of what the PS2 and the original Xbox could do. So that was probably the biggest challenge.
So do you foresee the Mafia franchise progressing into even more recent time periods?
Of course. I mean, the Mafia is something that's existed for hundreds of years. It's something that's going to exist. It's become this kind of general term for organized crime. It doesn't have to be the Italian mafia. You know, we've all heard of, like, the Russian mafia or, you know, the Yakuza, the Japanese mafia. So it could go anywhere and do anything, really.
So were there any features of Mafia 2 that didn't make the cut that you wish had? Any that might be added back in later?
There's a couple of features. You know, like I wish we had gotten the melee combat, the weapons working. Like, we have a great melee system in the game, but, you know, melee weapons aren't something that the Mafia is really known for. I mean, they're more about guns, but at one time we were playing around with things like baseball bats and pool pews and things like that, and destructible environments, being able to break things in the environment and then having those things become weapons, like hitting a guy with a chair, then the chair breaks, and you can beat him with a chair leg, things like that. I wish that we had gotten up to the same level of quality as the rest of the game. The reason that we didn't include them is because they were not up to level of quality as the driving, the shooting, and the melee combat that we have in the shipping game.
So the original Mafia had a screenplay of 400 pages. This time around, you're boasting nearly double that, with 700 pages and over 2 hours of in-game cutscenes, all done with the game's Illusion engine. What challenges did you face trying to cram this much storytelling into one game while maintaining player interest long enough to finish it?
Oh, boy. So the script started out around 500 this time when I got it, and then we got it up to almost 800 at one point, actually. And, you know, we noticed that story is good and everything, but it's, you know, games are all about gameplay. If the gameplay isn't there, if the pacing doesn't work, then not as many people are going to get to experience this wonderful story that we've written. So something we did, the major changes that we did between the original design on paper, being the script, and the game that you're going to play on August 24th, was that it was the pacing. So if we had 5 minutes of story to tell, and it was originally designed as a 5-minute cutscene, wherever that cutscene took place in the world, odds are you probably had to drive for 60 seconds to 3 minutes to get there. So if we could take some of that 5 minutes of information conveyed in that cutscene and put it during the drive, so if you drove to that cutscene with another character in the car and you could talk about stuff and give a little bit of exposition and do some storytelling there before you get to the cutscene, and therefore have a shorter cutscene, then that's a lot of what we did. We said, all right, let's not have a 2-minute drive to a 5-minute cutscene. Let's have a 2-minute drive to a 3-minute cutscene and still convey the same 5 minutes of information.
So how destructive will the environments be, and will you be able to damage through cover?
The environments aren't completely 100% destructible in that you can't knock down whole buildings. You know, this is a Mafia game, so you are using weapons, mostly, you know, projectile weapons with bullets, that aren't going to knock down a whole building. I know there's one video and there's one part of the game where you do have to destroy a building and it is, you know, scripted to fall apart and everything, but that's really the only case like that. You've probably seen some videos, and you've seen in the demo that was released on August 10th that the cover you hide behind is partially destructible or completely destructible. So if you're hiding behind like a concrete column and a guy's shooting that with a shotgun or a Tommy gun, that will chip away. If you're hiding behind like a wooden table, for example, that will take a couple of bullets and then it'll just disintegrate. And you can shoot through certain cover, like certain guns can shoot through wood. You're not going to be, you know, there is no rail gun. You're not going to be shooting through entire buildings, things like that.
So what's the coolest, most unexpected thing you've seen someone pull off in the game?
Oh, man. It's so weird. I see stuff. I've been playing this game for years, as you probably know, and every time I play it, something new happens. Coolest, I don't know about coolest, but there's something weird happened the other day. We were demoing the game where we started playing, and the cops started chasing us, and I didn't feel like bribing the cop or running from him, so I started to fight with the cops. And then the cops ended up chasing me all across the city. And then I decided to carjack someone, and the guy had his wife in the car. So I pulled the guy out, I got into his car, and then his wife got out of the car, and then the cops flew into me, knocked the door down, killed his wife, and then fell off a bridge. Little crazy little emergent things like that always happen in the game world.
So the first Mafia was much better received on PC than Xbox. How did that affect your approach going in to make a game that has to be successful on consoles?
Well, you know, we saw the growth of the console market, and I actually was one of the consumers who was a little bit disappointed having played the PC version of Mafia And then I played the Xbox version of Mafia, and I saw the magic on the, you know, on the PC version, and some of it just wasn't there on the Xbox version. And I never touched the PS2 version, but I heard that one wasn't quite up to par as well compared to the PC version. So right from the very start, we said, and again, going back to the game engine, we said we need this game to look great and run great and support the entire feature set across the major consoles and PC. So once again, this is why it took 8 years.
So what was the most fun you had recreating this era of time?
The most fun I personally had was the music. I haven't told the story too many times before, but I handle all the music licensing for 2K. And when I saw this script a couple of years ago, I saw how much music we had the opportunity to put in this game. I called up all the record labels and I said, you know, send me everything you have that came out, you know, before the, basically the Phil Spector sound, of, you know, the wall of sound, the defining sound of the 60s and the early, probably like 1961, 62. I said, send me everything you have before that and I'll, you know, we'll take it under consideration. So we ended up with a couple of thousand tracks, and then over the course of probably 3 years, I listened to nothing but those thousands and thousands of tracks from the 50s and the 40s, and some from the 30s, and we ended up with, like, I think, 122 total that went into the game, and these were the 122 best, and also the 122 that didn't annoy me after listening to them for three straight years.
Cool. And so the original Mafia game was released to rave reviews, but that was 8 years ago. Actually, this is sort of, you've sort of addressed this, but what have you done to evolve the series to attract a new crowd of gamers while making sure any original Mafia players can purchase without worry?
Well, as I said earlier, you know, we did carry over the story and the atmosphere. I mean, those were universally acclaimed, and they were also, those are the elements from the first game that everyone considers to be best of breed in Mafia, was the storytelling and the atmosphere. So fans of Mafia 1, you'll still get a very unique feel when you play Mafia 2. It'll be obviously different because it takes place in a different era, but they don't have anything to worry about. And for people who are completely new to Mafia, the gameplay and just gameplay in general across all games has evolved so much in the last 8 years. You know, think about how many amazing games have come out since 2002. So we really updated the gameplay. So if you weren't a fan of the, you know, the slower moving cars in Mafia 1, you know, which would fit perfectly in that era, a lot of the cars in Mafia 2 were much faster, cooler. You know, we have basically it's, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you know, compared to the 1920s and 1930s, and that's where, you know, the first game took place in.
So you've already spoken to some of the aspects of this next question, but what kind of research and design was done to capture the look, feel, and sound of the 40s and 50s America? Maybe you can talk about how you got the authenticity of the cars or something along those lines, since you've addressed the look.
Well, you know, the Internet is a huge source of information as far as classic cars go. There are books on this subject. There are books on the fashions and advertising in the 40s and 50s. These are places we really look to. Music is, you know, music lives forever, so music wasn't too hard. I guess that's all I can really say about that one.
Cool. And so how hard is it to be historically accurate while making a game that is set decades in the past? Were there any aspects of this historical period that were especially difficult to replicate?
Not really. Everything was pretty simple to replicate, but we had to work within certain constraints. In just about every game I can think of that's you know, set within the last, you know, 30, 40 years, you have radio communication. So whenever you need to, you can just have the player, you know, put his hand up to his ear and his magic communicator turns on and some voice tells him what to do. As a game designer, that's the easiest and cheapest and best thing to be able to do is, you know, just, you know, kind of like in Halo, you know, Cortana just talks to Chief whenever he needs to get his next objective, something like that. We didn't have that luxury in the 1940s and, you know, the early to mid-1950s. That stuff didn't exist. There were no things like cell phones, you know, that get lumped in there too. So it was really difficult. We had to make sure that the player understood what he needed to do, and once he was in that car, you know, that's it. We couldn't really have him veer off that path. We were inspired by history, but we weren't slaves to it. So if being historically accurate meant that gameplay was going to suffer, then, you know, we bent history a little bit. For example, the GPS. You can't have a city that's 10 square miles, which is the size of what Empire Bay is, without having some kind of GPS navigation, because it just doesn't work. And obviously the GPS didn't exist in the 50s. It's just something that, you know, we put in the game just to make it work for everybody.
So for people who are new to the franchise, is it important to play the first Mafia before playing Mafia 2?
No, not at all. For people who don't know, just about everybody died or went to jail at the end of Mafia 1. And, you know, it didn't leave us too many avenues to carry over that story or to basically just make Mafia 1.5. So it is a completely new story with similar yet much evolved gameplay. So you don't really need to play Mafia 1 in order to play Mafia 2.
Okay. The PhysX engine looks quite impressive in the game. Can we expect cover areas to also be affected? For example, a table that's already knocked down for cover is not a permanent camping ground but can quickly be torn to bits.
Yeah, this is something that you know, I touched on before. The cover is usually destructible, depending on what you're hiding behind. Partially destructible things include things that are made out of concrete. It'll chip away. It won't get completely destroyed by lead bullets, but it will chip away. If there's an overturned wooden table, yeah, that table is going to take one or two shotgun blasts, and that's it. And a Tommy gun will tear it to pieces.
Can we get a rough estimation of how long it will take to complete the main game and side missions?
Most playthroughs I've seen take place, you know, between 13 and 20 hours. I mean, it depends on what you want to do. If you want to rush through it, you can probably get through 13, a little less. Average, I'd say, is between 15 and 20.
We've all played the demo, and hopefully you all have, but how linear is the actual game? Will there be multiple endings based upon how you progress through the game?
The game is actually very linear, much in the way that like a movie is very linear. At one point in the design, we did have a couple of choices in the game, and then those led to different endings. But, you know, the closer we got to finishing that, we said, you know, these choices aren't as meaningful as we'd like them to be. And the endings aren't all, you know, while they're all different and it's cool to get different endings, they weren't all quite as satisfying as we would have liked them to be. And there was one ending, and we said, you know, this one has the greatest impact on the player. Everyone who gets this ending has been affected in a different way, and it's profound. So let's just steer them towards this ending. So the choices went away, and we steered everyone, like most games have, you know, one ending.
So in what ways are we going to see the city change over time?
Well, things that will change are the things that, you know, we mentioned earlier, things like the cars. You know, in the 1940s, the cars are these boxy people movers that were painted in these dull colors that were available back then. In the 1950s, all these factories that were busy making airplanes are now, you know, for the war, were now making cars again. That's why you couldn't buy a car in the 1940s, because everyone was busy making planes and tanks and all that stuff. Then the 1950s roll around, and the cars look like rocket ships, and there's all these super bright, you know, red and yellow and blue paint schemes. And so the cars really, really evolved. The music, of course, obviously, in 1940s, there was no rock and roll. 1950s roll around, you have the birth of rock and roll. You have artists like Chuck Berry and Little Richard, Buddy Holly. So you're going to experience the birth of rock and roll in the game. The radio is no longer dominated by World War II news reports as it was in the 1940s. So in the 1950s, you're going to hear a lot of advertising for products. You know, there's a lot of commercialism that happened. 1950s, you know, exploded after World War II was over. The economy, that is. You're not going to see as many propaganda posters. You don't see any propaganda posters, actually, in the 1950s. In the 1940s, that's really all you see are just ads urging young men to sign up for the Selective Service, you know, for the Army, Navy, Air Force, things like that. Women's fashions tend to change a lot. Men's fashions, you know, guys have been wearing suits for like 100 years, and they really haven't changed too much. But women's fashions tend to change, you know, like every 6 months or every couple of years. So that's something you'll see. Women's fashions and hairstyles will change. That's about all I can think of for now.
That's quite a lot. Could you describe the save mechanic used? I've heard that it's old school, where if you die, the level is restarted instead of using a more modernized checkpoint system.
No. You don't start at the beginning of a level unless you don't get to the first checkpoint. The checkpoints are, you know, they're not placed every 10 minutes, so it's not like you're just going to die and start where you were, you know, 2 seconds ago. But you know, you'll start off, and then once you get to the first checkpoint, if you die, you'll start at the checkpoint. So we do have a modern checkpoint system in the game.
Okay, going back to the destruction topic a little bit, but this on the vehicle front, there's been some talk about the destruction in the gameplay, i.e. vehicles and buildings. Can or will there be consequences of the destruction? Will the vehicle not function, make maneuverability hard, et cetera? In other words, how much of the destruction actually affects the storyline?
Well, that's not really storyline. I'd say that's gameplay. So the destruction of anything doesn't really affect the story at all or the storyline. But the vehicles are something where, you know, the cops can shoot out your tire and then it'll go flat. And eventually, if you keep driving on it, it'll fall off. You'll be driving on a rim. That will obviously affect your ability to go fast and to corner. So the cops can easily then overtake you and just start shooting at you if it's a shoot-to-kill situation. So, you know, your vehicle can take damage. Depending on the vehicle, it'll take damage, and then the engine can get damaged, and then the car's performance will suffer. You won't be able to go as fast. So vehicle destruction is something that's very important.
Are there any side missions that can be repeated after the completion of the main storyline? Can the players continue playing in the open world after the end mission, or will users have to restart the last checkpoint to explore the world again?
There is no free roam or free ride mode or anything like that in the game. So you can free roam or you can, you know, do side missions, whatever you like to call them. During most of the main story, you're not really timed to get anywhere except sort of, you know, at the end of the demo, you know, Henry's bleeding to death in the back seat. So obviously in the main game, the continuation of that is you need to get Henry to a doctor before he dies. So things like that, you can't free roam with bleeding friends in the car. But you can free roam whenever you want during the main game. After the game's over, the game's over, that's it. But for PS3, we have that free day one DLC, The Betrayal of Jimmy. That is more of an arcade-style free roaming experience. It's still story-based, but you know, the major objectives Jimmy has to complete don't take an hour like Vito's objectives take. They take, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. So the free DLC and the DLC that's available for everyone, that's called Jimmy's Vendetta, that is, those are far more, you know, free roam based.
Can you give us a little insight into the melee combat in the game? Is it the combat of last resort, or do you want to try and get your character into a melee situation?
Well, it's designed to be easy to understand and rewarding when you can actually pull off the different finishing moves. So it's almost like boxing. In a way, you know, Vito's not a kung fu master or anything like that. He can defend himself, but it's mostly with his fists. But the finishing moves are what are my personal favorite. They're context sensitive. So, like, if you're near a car and the guy's facing the right way, Vito can, you know, will take his head and smash it into the car. If you're not near a car, instead, like, he'll take the guy's head and ram it into his knee. So the finishers are my personal favorite part of that.
Several games of this sort leave the window open for the player to go nuts and create as much carnage as they want. However, there are some that discourage this kind of behavior. Where does Mafia 2 stand?
We'll let you do it to a point, but we do discourage it. The police in Mafia 2 are nowhere near as aggressive as they were in Mafia 1, but they still are a presence. When you start behaving badly, depending on what you've done, the cops will respond in different ways. If it's just a fist fight, you know, you'll have to pay a small fine, or you can, you know, you can resist arrest. If you run someone over and keep driving, they will, you know, they'll use their guns to stop you. If you kill a cop, you're basically dead. You know, they call an officer down, and, you know, and then you're basically labeled a cop killer, and every cop in the city will stop at nothing to kill you. So it's, you know, it's realistic, and you can fight the cops. The cops aren't supermen. They're not wearing body armor or anything like that. They didn't have that back then. So if you're very well-equipped weapon-wise and you're ready to take on the cops, you can try it, but you'll probably die eventually.
So how vast is the explorable area compared to the original Mafia?
Empire Bay, as opposed to Lost Heaven, Empire Bay is twice the size, roughly, so it's 10 square miles of fully explorable real estate.
Mafia 2 is said to be boasting real-time cutscenes. What benefits are there to code real-time cutscenes versus pre-rendered?
Well, technically, it's a little bit of a disk space issue. You know, you don't have to have this pre-rendered video living on the disk anywhere. It's just you're using, you know, the same or similar assets in every scene. And, you know, we do provide a lot of customization for what Vito can wear. So we have all this clothing in the game, and depending on what you choose to wear, Vito is wearing that in the cutscene. So it's like, you know, it's like a different, deeper level of customization in the game with these real-time cutscenes.
So will hijacking every car in Mafia 2 require the lock-picking minigame?
Hijacking, to me, usually means that there's someone in the car already. So when there's someone in the car, and if it's going slow enough or if it's just stopped, you can just pull open the door with the open door button, and you'll throw the guy out. Or you'll help the lady out of the car, depending on who's driving it. If you want to break into a stationary vehicle with no one in it, you can break the window with the action button, or you can pick the lock if you don't want to damage the vehicle.
So will wearing different clothes have an effect on missions, i.e. make you easier or harder to be spotted by the police?
No, not really. This isn't a game where you can wear a giant purple pimp hat or, you know, a crazy bright red suit. You do have to dress like a mobster would dress. So there's nothing that Vito can wear that's really extravagant or loud or anything like that.
Will there be more, quote, sneaking missions like the sewer mission?
Yes, but I won't go into exactly what that is.
What kind of weapons can we expect? Anything that we might be familiar with?
Well, if you're familiar with World War II shooters, you'll see a lot of World War II era weapons in there, like the M1 Garand will be in there, a 1911 semi-automatic pistol. I think there's around 20 weapons altogether, grenades, Molotov cocktails, shotguns, the Tommy gun, of course. You can't make an old school Mafia game without a Tommy gun, the M3 grease gun. So it's a nice mix of American and exotic weaponry from the era.
So what would you say immediately makes your game stand out from other open world sandbox type games?
Mafia 2, I think it's our focus on the story and the storytelling, the linearity of it. And these are all things we did on purpose. We wanted it to really feel like a cinematic experience. In a similar respect, there's no other game out there that has this level of driving and shooter combat, melee combat, wrapped up in a city, that takes place in this set that's 10 square miles, and it really just evokes this era of this world that no longer exists. But there's really nothing else out there like it to me.
The story in Mafia was epic, taking the protagonist from a taxi driver to made man to police informant to an old man. Is Mafia 2 going to be just as big a story, and what films and events influenced the story in Mafia 2?
I don't know what films and events really did that. The story was originally written by Daniel Robert, the guy who wrote the first game. So it is just as epic. The only reason Mafia 1 took Tommy to where he was an old man is because you would have seen the ending. I'm not going to give away the ending to Mafia 2. But it is just as epic, and I can't answer what films or events influence the story. I know that Daniel is a history buff, so I wouldn't be surprised if it was influenced by historical characters.
This may or may not make this next question difficult to answer. How difficult is it to create a new gangster story without falling into Mafia cliches that have been done time and time again?
Well, the reason that the Mafia stuff is maybe considered cliche and that's done time and time again is because the Mafia is very much like a military organization. You have to behave one way and only one way. You have to do certain things and only certain things, or they kill you. So it's not like you can just have a guy who's a mobster slash something else. Or like, you have to be a mobster and you have to act like, you got to act like a wise guy if you're a wise guy. So, and there are rules to this organization. Like I said, it's like the military, but obviously different uniforms.
So how will the backstory of Vito being a World War II vet influence Mafia 2?
Well, Vito is, he's an ex-soldier at the start of the game. He's seen the hell and the horror of war in World War II. So when he's asked, and you guys have seen this in probably the August 2007 trailer that we debuted at Leipzig, he's asked by a high-ranking member of one of the Mafia families in the game, like, more or less, he's saying, like, can you kill? And, you know, Vito's response to this is, I was in the war, asshole, of course I can kill. You know, so he's saying, like, look, all this little mafia stuff that you guys are doing back here is great, and I'd love to be a part of it, but it's nothing compared to what I went to overseas in the war. So that's, you know, where Vito, and Vito isn't one of those guys who sit there and talks and tells war stories with his buddies, so he did see some crazy shit in the war. And that's what makes, you know, him able to stomach this stuff. He's not just a nice little guy off the streets. He's like, oh, yeah, sure, give me a gun. I can kill that guy. He's someone who's had to do this before.
Will we see any references or cameos to Mafia 1?
There will be some stuff. I said in the past there will be some stuff in there for fans of Mafia 1, but it won't say exactly what it is. I don't want to ruin the surprise.
All right. We've got a bunch of Playboy-related questions. Surprising. How did the association with Playboy come about? Did the team approach Playboy with the idea of including Playmates from the time period or vice versa?
Well, Playboy was one of those things that, you know, we'd always planned to advertise in Playboy because it kind of embodies, you know, what we call the good life, what the mobsters would, you know, aspire to become. You know, a well-dressed guy with pretty girls, fast cars. And so Playboy to us always embodied what, you know, what it was to be a gangster. And when it came time to find collectibles to put in the game, you know, we thought like, oh, should we have, like, what are we going to hide all over the world to encourage exploration? Because that's what you do when you have a game world that's, you know, literally 10 square miles in size. You have to hide these things all over the world and encourage people to explore and pick them up and maybe go a little off the beaten path. So we said, oh, is it going to be, you know, concrete boots? Is it going to be brass knuckles? You know, something like that. You know, those are really cheesy. And we had a phony gentleman's magazine that we created for the game. We said, you know, wouldn't it be cool if this was Playboy? And one of the guys in our marketing department, he already had a relationship with someone at Playboy, so he just made a phone call, and they went for it.
Cool. And for people who don't know, that's the one in the 50s is when the Playboy magazine first came out, so it was also timed with that. And can you talk a little bit about what people see with the magazines?
Yeah, we have 50 Playboy original, and these are original covers from the 50s and 50 centerfolds.
And which sort of covers off on this question, which somebody said, we get to collect vintage issues of Playboy, but how much of the magazine is viewable outside of the cover? Because, you know, I want to read the articles.
I enjoy the articles as well.
But I guess the articles didn't make the cut?
No, the articles did not make the cut. There was only room, I guess it must have been a disk space issue.
So let's talk about automobiles and driving. We know that you have a variety of vintage cars in Mafia 2. What are your favorites?
One of my personal favorites is the Ascot Bailey. It's one of the convertibles you've probably seen. There's another one called the Roller, which is a special car that's in the game. The Jeep that's available in the DLC is really cool. It's obviously not quite as fast, but those are probably my three favorites.
And so we've seen the cars in the game, but what other sorts of conveyances will there be? Streetcars, boats, airplanes?
No, there are no streetcars. It is based on New York, mostly the city, and the city, you don't have streetcars. There are taxis, but you can't take a taxi because the wise guys don't really take taxis. They drive their own luxury cars everywhere. So we don't allow Vito to take public transportation for that reason. You cannot fly a plane. There weren't too many non-military airplanes flying around back then. And boats, there was really no place to go on a boat, so we didn't do boats this time either.
In the E3 demo, the car physics felt sluggish in response. Was the design of the game aiming toward realism of the era instead of fast maneuvers?
Well, I would say to this person, then you obviously didn't drive all the cars in the E3 demo. So every car feels different. There was around 50 different car models in the game, and we have ones that do feel like big, large, sluggish boats. We also have ones that feel like race cars. So if you're driving a big boat of a car, it's going to feel like a big boat of a car. But if you're driving like a two-seater convertible with a big engine in it, it's going to feel and respond like a race car. So the guys got really geeky with the car physics. But that's why we created the normal driving mode, which is a little bit closer to an arcade-style driving mode. And for the people who want to, we have a simulation mode in the games where the cars will behave realistically. So the big boats will behave even more like big boats, and the race cars will behave even more like race cars.
So moving on to a multiplayer question, there is a big call to add multiplayer to a title to try and keep it in players' hands longer. yet Mafia 2 eschews this concept. Sticking with a solid single-player experience, was it difficult to stick with this philosophy, or was there serious debate over adding a multiplayer component?
Well, one of the cool things about working at 2K is that we're never really forced to do anything. You know, it's just because we're supposed to, you know, tick that box that says multiplayer in order to be successful, you know, it doesn't mean we have to do it. And it was just like, you know, with the original Bioshock. We didn't find a way to do multiplayer that made sense, so we didn't do it at the time. And same thing with Mafia. We couldn't really think of a way that where multiplayer would be at the same level of quality as the single-player experience, so we chose not to do it. Like, it didn't make any sense at all to take, you know, our whatever we have, like 200 character models in the game and just throw them into a big shootout somehow. So when we can do it, when we figure out how to do it and in a way that makes sense, we'll do it.
So this next set of questions actually ties into probably one of your greatest specialties, which is the whole voice acting element in the game. Was it hard to cast Italian-sounding voice actors, or was anybody with a decent Rocky accent allowed to audition?
Well, this is one where I cast the net really wide. I deal with most of the casting and voice direction for 2K's titles. And this is actually the reason I got involved in this project from the get-go, is because we obviously needed actors who could pull off a certain accent that's really, really difficult to do if you didn't grow up around here like I did. And anyone was allowed to audition, and I went through thousands, hundreds if not thousands of auditions. Some of them were really, really, really bad, but, you know, a lot of them were good, and it wasn't too hard to cast Italian. I mean, I'm assuming by Italian sounding you mean people with a New York kind of Brooklyn accent, because there aren't really too many Italian or Sicilian characters in the game. It was just trying to find the guys with the right voice, because you need the voice, you need the acting ability, and then you need to be able to do the accent. So this is, you know, it's a game based on a very specific ethnic group in a very small part of the world. So, and what's cool is they all know each other. They're all up for the same roles in the same movies all the time. So you find one, you find them all.
And actually, can you talk a little bit about the whole, how you shot it, how the voice acting wasn't just a single actor at a time?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm very critical of voice performances in a game because it just pulls you out of the whole experience if you're not convinced by the actors. And what a lot of games do is they record one actor at a time in the voiceover booth, which is the easiest to do from like a scheduling and a production standpoint, but it doesn't always yield believable conversations. In other words, if two game characters have to talk to each other and they're not in the same room at the same time, then it usually doesn't work. So what we did with Mafia is I rented out an ADR stage, which is you know, these big sound stages that they do when they re-record the dialogue for the movies, you know, for major films. And I brought in about between four and six actors at a time. Like, whoever had dialogue with other characters, I brought in the actors for those characters. So the actors were all able to play off of one another, and it yielded much more believable performances. We do this for all of our games.
So are there any famous voice actors in Mafia 2?
There are people whose voices you might have heard before. There are some people who whose faces you might recognize, but no one, as far as the main characters go, no, not really. I mean, the biggest name is probably Bobby Costanzo, who plays Joe, and he's one of those guys, if you know him, but he's not, you know, he's not a leading man. He hasn't been, you know, this major star where everyone's going to hear his voice and like, oh, that's Bobby Costanzo, you know. It doesn't really, for me, when a famous actor's voice is heard voicing a human character in a video game, I immediately I'm sucked out of the whole world they're trying to immerse me in, and I'm saying, oh, because I'm hearing a voice of a man I know, not of a character that I've just met, you know?
So much for the next question, asking about whether or not you tried to get De Niro to do a voice.
No. When you're working with celebrity talent, I've worked with celebrity talent before, the best way to do it is to get your game done, and then because the celebrity is not going to come in every time you change a scene or every time the design changes, and if they are, it's going to cost you millions. There are so many wonderful actors out there who work at, you know, they still get paid a lot, but they don't get paid, you know, what the celebrities want to get paid. So that's why I prefer to work with, you know, still very competent actors, professional actors, but, you know, guys who aren't going to come with, you know, a million different demands and want $1 million a session.
So let's talk a little bit more about the music. You already talked about how much music, but here's getting a little into some more of the specifics. The recent trailer has Kick in the Head playing. What other licensed music can we expect to see in the game?
We run the gamut, everything from Django Reinhardt, who was a huge part of the Mafia 1. Well, there's a Mafia 1 tie-in for you. Django Reinhardt was a huge part of the Mafia 1 soundtrack, and we do have a couple of Django Reinhardt tracks in Mafia 2. So we were everything from, you know, 1920s and 1930s, jazz, you know, progressing through swing to some early blues, evolution into R&B, and then rockabilly, rock and roll, the Italian pop crooners like Dean Martin and Tony Bennett, guys like that that were really big, Rosemary Clooney, you know, the pop stars of the 1950s. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we have guys like, you know, Buddy Holly, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, Roy Hamilton. Really, all the pioneers of their field are here.
So the Collector's Edition will have an orchestral soundtrack, but is there a chance of us getting a soundtrack of the licensed music at some point, or will we have to hunt it all down ourselves?
Oh, 122 awesome tracks as one soundtrack is extremely difficult to pull off. I'm personally working on it right now. We haven't really talked about it in the public before, but it's something that I'm looking into. It's something I'd like to do. But as you can imagine, it's a huge number of people that need to be signed up for it. When you're talking, I think it's 122 licensed tracks we have in the game. It's something I'd like to bring to everyone, but it's definitely not going to be easy.
So you've announced that the licensed music will obviously be in the game, but how will it be implemented? Is it only in cutscenes, or will there be radio stations too?
We do use it. You know, we have what I call narrative licensed music. You know, that's stuff that's used during the cutscenes and during certain gameplay segments. But most of the music is, or all the music is available on the radio. We have three different radio stations in each era. So we have three radio stations in the 1940s. And those will all evolve and change formats once you get into the 1950s. So you'll have your rock station in the 50s and your R&B station in the 50s and your, you know, pop crooner stuff in the 50s. And in the 40s, you have your sort of oldies like, you know, Django Reinhardt music station. And you have your, you know, your pop music station. And then your what they called race music back then, which was basically the precursor to the R&B charts. In the 1940s as well.
So as a PC gamer, I want to know that I'm getting the best possible Mafia 2 experience. How will NVIDIA's involvement with this title help ensure that?
Well, if you have a fire-breathing monster of a PC that's capable of doing the enhanced GPU, you know, the GPU-enhanced physics with the, that supports the Apex clothing and particles, then you're going to have an amazing experience. The cloth moves realistically. It also the game also supports NVIDIA 3D Vision and 3D Vision Surround. So, you know, when you're playing this game in 3D Vision Surround, meaning three monitors in full 3D with the Apex clothing and Apex particles, it's just it's amazing. I mean, the main game features, you know, similar particle systems and the clothing does move, but it doesn't quite look as realistic as it does if your card supports all that stuff from NVIDIA.
Okay. Let's see, and we're going to wrap this up and start taking some additional email questions that haven't been addressed yet. How does the PS3 version of Mafia 2 compare to the Xbox 360? Will the resolution and textures be close to identical on the two versions, or does one version slightly edge out the other on a technical and performance level?
Well, to me, they look pretty much the same. I mean, yeah, I've seen crazy people who go and take screenshots and put them side by side on the internet and things like that. But if you're just running them on monitors side by side, there really isn't much of a visual or performance difference. This is, again, goes back to the Illusion engine. This is what it was designed to do. It was designed to look and run the same across both consoles and PC.
Okay. Post-release content question. The betrayal of Jimmy Pax is exclusive to PlayStation 3, and the game's second pack, Jimmy's Vendetta will be available for all platforms soon after Mafia 2's launch. What additional post-release content can players expect?
I can't really talk about that right now. There's going to be some more stuff maybe coming out, but we have to wait for an announcement.
All right. File under cannot comment. All right, and I have one last question, and then if anybody has any questions that I didn't get to, email them over to me, and I'll just have Jack fire off as many as he can in the next 5 to 10 minutes. But here's the last question I'm going to get to, and I'm sure whoever sent this will be happy that I'm asking it. At any point in Mafia 2, will you be fighting zombies or vampires? Because those are pretty popular right now.
No, you will not be fighting zombies or vampires or zombie vampire Nazis or anything like that. You guys may or may not have heard me joke about zombie mode. I was joking. There are no zombies in the game.
Some people will be really sad to hear that. So if anybody has some outstanding questions, feel free to email them over, and then I will just start grabbing them as they come through. And you should all have my address on file. And it takes me a second to refresh and check my spam filter. So. Somebody wants to know to ask what your top five gangster movies are.
Top five. Oh God. Let's see. I'd say Goodfellas is probably my number one, followed by Godfather 2, followed by Godfather 1. Followed by Donnie Brasco. And is this just like the Italian Mafia or just gang in general?
I don't think they went into that level of specifics.
Well, then I'll throw in Miller's Crossing as well, because I love that movie.
So I'm going to ask and answer a question for you, Jack. Will there be a Mafia 3? Another one to file under the cannot comment at this time.
Cannot comment.
All right. Thank you for saying that over, Cam Burke. All right, let me see what else. Just a sec. Some people have sent questions that were already answered. Tyler asking about why multiplayer wasn't in Mafia 2. Come on, man. Let's see. As a criminal experience, this is from Tony. Will any Mafia 2 gameplay take place in gameplay? And if so, can you give me? I don't understand your question, man. As a criminal experience, will any Mafia 2 gameplay take place in gameplay? And if so, can you give an inkling of what we can expect? I have no idea what that means. Let's see. Somebody tell me that they have to leave early. Here's what Tony was asking, and you may or may not comment. Will any of the gameplay take place in prison?
I can't comment on that either.
Okay. All right. Ned wants to know, did you have any ideas for Mafia 2 that you couldn't include in the game because of time or technology constraints? And I think you spoke to this earlier about being able to turn some destroyed objects into weapons. Is there anything else that you couldn't include?
Not really. Those are the things I most regret not being able to get into the game. But there wasn't really too much else.
Okay. Will Nicholas wants to know, will the Mafia franchise always be on consoles in the future, or is it mostly a PC to console franchise? And
it really doesn't matter the medium to me. I mean, if I'm playing it on my iPhone 20 years from now, I mean, it's it's all about the experience, and I think to me it's less about the medium in which you play it.
Yeah. Anthony wants to know, would you like to see Mafia be made into a movie itself?
Not really. Just like I don't like seeing movies being made into video games, you know. The experience is the experience, and I think the gameplay, if you take the gameplay out of the equation, it just kind of ruins it, you know.
So for the DLC for Jimmy, does it take place after the story involving Vito or during?
Their paths do not cross, so it doesn't really matter. It could be before, during, or after, but it takes place in the 1950s, so it would probably be during.
Okay, this is kind of an odd question, but aren't they all? Are certain vendors brothers, like the Shoeshine and Footlong guys? If so, is there a story behind it in the game through missions?
No, none of the vendors are related to one another.
Okay. Well, here's going back. Somebody wants to know if there's another Mafia. William, we can't comment on future installments. Wants to know if there's another Mafia game in the future. And do we ever see one being set in the future? And as you mentioned earlier, that Mafia existed throughout all the eras. Cool. Actually, I'm looking at my watch. I know we've got to wrap this up. And hold on. Let's see. Sorry, I got a bunch here. I'm looking for a fun one. Here's a pretty general one. What will keep players, this is from Nick, what will keep players playing Mafia 2 for a long time?
I don't know. Why do people play Mafia 1 for a long time? It's just the feel they get from it. They just want to keep playing it.
Okay. All right. Still got about a dozen questions here, and since I know that you're getting ready to fly out of there, here's what I'm going to do, people. If you have some questions that you feel are crucial for whatever you're working on, send them over to me, and I'll see if I can get Jack to film via email. Otherwise, I want to thank everybody for dialing in for this session, and I'll send out my usual post-call email to get some feedback, and thank you, Jack, for taking time. And if you're on this call, it means you're going to be getting a copy of the game. And don't email me right after this call to say when it's going to arrive, because it'll probably show up closer to when it launches on August 24th. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. Talk to you later, Jack.
Okay. Bye. Thanks, guys.